listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Damn, Fife, you got fat. Yeah, I know it looks pathetic. Ali Shaheed Muhammad got me doing calisthenics. Needless to say, boy, I'm bad to the bone, making love to my mic like Jerome on the phone. But no time to talk. The seals to be paid. Toes to be laid. Punks to be sprayed. Chumps to attack. So my man, watch your back, because 93 mean skills are a must, so never lack. Sit back and learn. Come now, watch the birdie. Your style is incomplete, same as Vinny Testaverde. Battling? Whatever. Hot damn. Give me the microphone, boy. One time. Bam. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And we're just ready to do some podcasting, guys. Of course, if you want to find this show, just go to theblackouttips.com. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can become a premium member by going to theblackouttips.com/premium. People been asking me all week, what are your thoughts on Get Out? Did you guys go see I'm Not Your Negro? Yeah, we did, and we did give our thoughts, but you gotta pay to hear them behind the paywall.
Yeah, I still haven't seen Get Out yet, though.
Yeah, I reviewed Get Out with Marissa Janae, mm-hmm. who you guys should know from Safety Pin Box. We reviewed that together, and then Karen, me, and Randolph Terrence from Three Guys On, we reviewed I'm Not Your Negro. Mm-hmm. Very fun times, very informative conversations.
It was.
Pick the bones clean off of those talks. So hopefully you guys that are curious about that, theblackouttips.com/premium. Of course, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And this episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT, okay? All right? Go ahead and go GetBevel.com. GetBevel.com/TBGWT. I think that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah, GetBevel.com/TBGWT, man. Make sure you guys go there. It helps us out whenever you guys do that. Mm-hmm. So let's get it done, guys. All right. All right. Let's see, what all we want to talk about. Cause there was a lot of news going on today. Okay. Matter of fact, first let me talk about some random thoughts. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Some things I've been thinking about. I think it should, we need to have a law passed or a bill or something proposed, where no black person specifically, but no person in general, should have to be subjected to secondhand Fox News. It's a serious, it's a very serious epidemic going around this country, and we've all experienced it. You go to get your car worked on, you go to your dentist's office or your doctor's office, you know, just sometimes you just go to get something to eat, and lo and behold, these motherfuckers got Fox News playing on some TV randomly,
right,
throughout a restaurant. Now, I don't give a fuck about the news in general. Like, I would understand if you wanted to put it on, you know, the Weather Channel or you know, even your local news possibly, or MSNBC or CNN. But Fox News is specifically a toxic concoction that affects the health of very many people in America through secondhand anger, right. Secondhand eye rolls. I thought my eyes were never coming back in my head the other day. Right. It's blinds you through your eyes being so far back in your head. It's like, I can't drive. How I'm gonna get home? I can't even use my phone to get an Uber because my eyes won't come down from the back of my fucking head as I watch this bullshit. It's an epidemic, and it's definitely killing black people across this country through raising our blood pressure and our stress levels. So we got to do something to stop secondhand Fox News. It's too much. Mm-hmm. If you're a white person and you keep it on in your house, you must not have black friends. But if you do, don't subject them to this bullshit. It's worse than smoking. I'd rather you smoke a cigarette.
Come on.
I'd rather you smoke a cigarette, hold it in, open my mouth, and kiss me and push the smoke into my lungs than leave Fox News on while I'm in your vicinity. That's how bad it is. It's got to stop, y'all. Okay? And some of y'all had to deal with this shit at your offices, mm-hmm. you know, your break room. It's a shame. Fox News should be banned from general public consumption. The only people that should watch that shit, it's like alcohol. You can get drunk, but you can't drive drunk. and you can't sit up there and make me drink with you. Okay,
yeah, it should be, everything in here should be fucking neutral.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I can't believe that's a thing in this country, but it exists. Mm-hmm. And it's about goddamn time somebody brought it up.
And it's even worse when there's only one fucking TV in the whole place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I bring my headphones or something else. If I know I'm be someone for extensive periods of time.
But even seeing it.
Yeah.
I've had my headphones on and been in a lobby of like somewhere waiting to get my car fixed. And just seeing the fucking, I don't even have to hear it. Just seeing the shit.
And reading the headlines.
Infuriates me. Like, it's just, cause it's so ridiculous.
Right.
It's not really news. They put question marks after everything. Did Obama tap Trump's wives? You know, shit like that. Just ridiculous things that help, you know, half the reason this country is so insane at this point is that so many people have been absorbing that shit as if it's actual news. And now when you talk to them, they sound like fucking conspiracy crackpots to us. But to every, you know, but there's enough of them to be like, well, no, we not crazy. Y'all crazy. You know, it shouldn't be. So all I'm saying is I can't stop you from watching it. Just like I can't stop you from watching porn, but I can say you don't need to be watching porn at McDonald's. You know,
right.
If I walk into McDonald's and McDonald's has fucking porn on the screen, I'm gonna be like, hey guys, come on, there's kids in here. Everybody didn't agree to this type of porn, whatever you have on the screen. I mean, can't you watch that on your laptop or your phone? Like, does it have to be in my fucking face all the time? That's essentially my point. Just, it's a serious epidemic and the shit needs to stop. Every person has complained about this at some point. Because we all like, what the fuck? Just know. We gotta find some new shit.
It almost ruins wherever you at, it ruins your experience.
Yeah, it does. It's the worst. That's places I don't go back to.
Right.
I'm like, oh, Fox News? Oh, okay. Well, this is the last time in Lenny's. You know, like, there's been plenty of times. Like, I make a note, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna be eating in here no more. And that probably, I mean, I feel like Fox News is essentially the Confederate flag of TV. Like, yeah, I'm not saying you're racist if you got it up, but I ain't gonna wait around to find out.
I sure ain't gonna wait around in the room. You ain't gotta put a hood on for me to know.
Right. You ain't gotta burn a cross in my face for me to be like, I probably shouldn't even be up in here with y'all.
Come on. You ain't gotta put on the hat or wave a flag.
You know how people said they elected, a Republican, elect Trump so that he can run the country like a business.
Nah, people don't understand how businesses are run.
We gotta run it like a business, Karen. The government.
Businesses don't give a fuck about people. Businesses are all about profit. Businesses slash cut, they lay off, which is shit that people don't want to talk about.
Well, these are my random thoughts, not yours. Trying to take my random thoughts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But I mean, people say that dumb shit. You don't know how a business ran.
It's obviously set up for a joke.
My bad.
Too late now.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about how the government can't be a business for a couple more hours.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, well, you know how people say they elected Trump to run the government like a business? Mm-hmm. Then why are they so mad at businesses that stopped selling Ivanka shit?
Hey.
They just running their shit like a business, right?
Free market.
Why they can't be businesses too? Why they gotta be part of the government entity to sell this woman's clothes? Like, why they gotta sell her jewelry? Why can't they say, the shit wasn't moving, it's got a bad reputation attached to it, got a bad stigma attached to it, our customers don't wanna buy it anymore, they don't wanna shop in stores that have it. We need to, for the sake of our business,
right.
Macy's or Nordstrom's or whatever, we need to get rid of her shit. But suddenly, they want a business to be run like the government. Gotta look out for everybody. Fuck out of here, man. Hypocrites is what I call them to say, Karen. That's what I'm trying to say. You think when two people with dreadlocks have sex, their hair links up like the hair in Avatar?
Yes.
That's how I imagine it. And Aaron Rand Freeman confirmed it for me, so I believe him. He's never steered me wrong.
Ever. No, he hasn't.
So this is a new thing that's happening now. Every comic book movie that comes out, whenever they fight a bad guy, they always say, this bad guy is like Trump. This is anti-Trump propaganda. This is against the government. This, like, it was just happening for every movie. It was Star Wars. This is anti-propaganda for the government. You guys are, it's like they didn't even know Trump was going to be elected when he started thinking of these movies.
Right.
Months ago. Years ago. Like, there was no way to know that we would literally make every scene in the Star Wars prequel become reality. Like, all the government C-SPAN.
I mean, yeah, last time I heard it was in a galaxy far, far, far away, but apparently it's in the galaxy really close.
Right. Like, it, you know, it's extremely scary, but it's real. Right. But maybe instead of blaming the movies for being political, we shouldn't have turned our politics into fucking comic books. Like, our fucking government has turned into the evil, like, all the evil MacGuffins in the world, all the E-Corps and all the fucking empires and shit. We've turned into every fucking Captain America villain. And then we go, these movies need to stop being political. What happens when we tread into when reality becomes too comic book? What about that?
Right. You know what? God damn it, I wish it was a Captain America.
Somebody knock this motherfucker out.
Come on.
Because
the way the world going, shit, it would make more fucking sense. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It would.
Upon reflection, I don't think Nate Dogg had respect for that lady before she opened up a gap. I was thinking about it. Mm-mm. And no. From his other lyrics, I'm going to assume Nate Dogg actually never had respect for that lady. Mm-mm. And it really didn't matter if she would have opened up her gap or how wide or any of that.
No, I don't think it would have mattered either.
Yeah, I think the jury's in on that.
I mean, too.
I took my wedding ring off yesterday to play basketball, and I forgot to put it back on last night. I didn't wear it all night long. I forgot to go to the car and put it back on. So does that make me a hoe?
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. It's interesting to think about. All I'm saying. Am I thought in any streets now?
I don't know. I've lost mine before, so I don't know.
For the gram. Well, we found it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to drive all the way back to that bookstore one time and find it in the parking lot. Because you took it off to put on lotion.
I quit doing that shit. Now, fuck it. Everything going to be lotioned up because I've lost my ring twice for putting on lotion. Fuck it. My ring is going to be cocoa buttered up.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to take it off for some lotion.
Well, I was in the creep squad for a night. I wasted
not
it.
For a night.
I wasted it though. I just stuck
you
around the house.
Your opportunity.
I didn't go out to the club. I didn't start disrespecting Karen. I'm totally horrible at those sort of things.
You ain't find you a crew. They won't be your best friend. Like
be my best friend. Like I won't be your bro.
Right.
I had a chance to shoot for the bottom, and I totally messed up. Could have been hanging out with Cisco and Rich and all them, and I let it slide. I let the opportunity slide.
Best friend, the way I want to be yours, bro.
I'm sorry, Rich.
Yep.
That's your fault. You blew the opportunity. I wouldn't have known.
Yep. That's my bad. All right, that's all my random thoughts. I don't have any more. At least I don't think I have any more. Did I have any more?
I don't know. Check. You probably got a list somewhere on that computer.
Hold on, let me just double check. Hold on. I think that was all of them.
I must say, you always have thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I did have one more. So the NFL draft is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to give you guys my mock draft preview.
Okay.
Oh, you call that a draft? Well, that's more like a breeze, you little weak ass. Punk ass draft. The NBA, now that's a draft, motherfuckers. How about that? Okay, they gonna make some real money, you broke ass bitches. Ha, that's my mock NFL draft. So look forward to more of the preview. I'll be dropping those later. All right.
Okay, what happened?
I was mocking the NFL draft, Karen.
Like internet do.
Yeah,
like don't do.
I mean, that's how you mock them. I mean, but you thought I was gonna make a list?
No, right, I was looking for a list.
Amateur hour, Karen. You don't know nothing about this. Let's get into our sections.
They are professional
we'll be right back. something I wanna ask you. There's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me? All right, let's get into this. Well, probably horrible, tragic news, but let's get into it anyway. How defunding Planned Parenthood could wipe out transgender healthcare. Other things that, other goals that just fit right on in with, the quote unquote, religious, voter base. Like, in addition to getting rid of, anti-choice, getting rid of the women's choice to be able to have an abortion and terminate pregnancy. They also would absolutely love the additional, quote unquote bonus. Yeah, they would love that. But apparently, unbeknownst to many, Planned Parenthood is one of the largest sources in the U.S. of transgender health care. The embattled provider offers hormone replacement therapy, which helps a person's body appear more masculine or feminine, at dozens of its locations, and the growing share of its staff are trained to perform routine sexual health exams for trans patients. They are often of the most important providers of trans health care in the country, said Harper Jean Tobin, the director of policy for the National Center of Transgender Equality, adding that their clinics are some of the few transgender healthcare providers located outside of major cities. Many of their clinics are the only places for miles around that trans people can go for hormone therapy, HIV tests, and pap smears and not face discrimination.
Right.
With Congress on the brink of attempting to defund Planned Parenthood because of its role as an abortion provider, those services could easily be caught in the crossfire. Each year, Planned Parenthood has reimbursed hundreds of millions of dollars for family planning services it provides at little to no cost to low-income Americans. If Congress were to freeze Planned Parenthood out of those funding streams, it could force an unknown number of health centers to close. Health providers have long warned that this would have a detrimental impact on women's health, but Tobin said the cuts could be particularly disastrous for trans people.
Right.
Yeah, there's still doctors and stuff that literally refuse. Like, they're like, oh, no, I won't treat someone who's trans, period. Like, it's against my religion, quote unquote, or whatever, you know. But, you know, they'll provide Viagra, they'll provide birth control and all and other shit. But, you know, it's just another way to ostracize trans people, because essentially the end result of most people's transphobia is we don't want y'all to exist, period. Right. Don't be you, basically. Let's see, the state of transgender healthcare in the U.S. is already a fragile one. In one survey or after another, large numbers of transgender people report difficulty accessing both basic and specialized services because of biased providers in the distance to the nearest provider with adequate knowledge of trans health issues. Only about two-thirds of trans people who want hormone replacement therapy, a common treatment during gender transition, have actually received it. According to a major survey of transgender adults taken in 2015, and 23% have avoided getting essential care out of fear of harassment. 33% have had negative experiences with a healthcare provider, like needing to teach their doctor the fundamentals of transgender healthcare. And 29% reported having to travel at least 25 miles for transition related care. The result is that thousands go without care every year. So, yeah, closing Planned Parenthood would be another blow. And I'm sure that's why Republicans are all the more for that. Mm-hmm. You live in Trump country now. A drunk Trump reporter arrested for attacking a gay couple. Hmm. Yeah.
But y'all wonder why I was so angry.
And I thought Trump wasn't homophobic. I mean, why would he embolden homophobes if he's so, I mean, if Caitlyn Jenner is right and we should just be understanding, I mean, why are people in this guy's name attacking gay people? Like, why would you do that? I mean, I appreciate his passion, of course. I mean, can't, everybody's not evil. Not everybody's a bad person. So I appreciate his passion and his hate crimes, but I've got to say, I don't agree. Don't that sound silly? Anyway, fuck this dude. A Trump supporter from North Carolina has been arrested after he allegedly harassed and attacked a gay couple late last month. That's another thing, man, that most straight people can't really even imagine, but just PDA, holding hands, walking close together, just being yourself, makes you a target in some random stranger's eyes that he can attack you. I mean, I know that people feel like, oh, I can relate, because, you know, if you're black, you might feel like, but I can relate on some, like, I'm black and someone decided to target me for no reason, but I can't relate on, like, I'm black and I'm holding hands with Karen and that's right. why they decided to do something to me.
Right.
You know, like, that's a different, it's a different kind of an attack.
Yes, it is.
You know, I'm sure interracial couples probably feel some level of, like, that. But I'm sure more so in the past as opposed to now, but
right.
I'm sure there's still like a heightened awareness of your surroundings and nervousness and shit, but I can't imagine that as a LGBT person, because it's just, you know, you're just literally trying to be yourself. And I think, especially when it comes to love, a lot of us let our defenses down. That's your oasis. That's your person. It's that's your
escape place.
Yeah. Like you want that to be that place where you don't, where your concerns come first and their concerns come first, and instead you're walking around like, I guess can't be too close together, I guess can't hold hands, who's that over there, what's that dude doing in that pickup truck, is he turning around, like that kind of shit.
Right. I have felt heightened awareness with a child that wasn't even mine because she appeared to be white.
Right. Yeah. I really can't imagine. So yeah, law enforcement officials arrested 30-year-old North Carolina resident Brandon Ray Davis, guess the race white, on Thursday for verbally harassing a gay couple and knocking one of them to the ground with his motor scooter in Florida this past February. According to police, couple Kevin Seymour and Kevin Price were riding bicycles in Key West when an intoxicated Davis rode up behind them on his motor scooter and started insulting them. Among other things, Davis started yelling anti-gay slurs at the couple, informed her that they live in Trump country now. The two men threatened to call the police on Davis, who yelled back that he would cut you up if you did so. At one point, the scooter hit the back of Seymour's bicycle, throwing him to the ground. The couple went to a nearby scooter rental agency where they were successfully able to identify and track down Davis as their assailant. Well, they're lucky they were able to do that. He was arrested right. by the police on charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. With evidence of prejudice. So I don't know if that counts as a hate crime or how that's counted in our state, but yeah, that should be. I mean, by what I say, I know it's a hate crime. What I mean is, I don't know what, if evidence of prejudice is supposed to be language in our state as hate crime. I don't know.
Right.
But that should be a hate crime. I mean, you clearly did it because you thought those guys were gay, you know?
Right.
Donald Trump's think tank admits religious freedom means anti-LGBT discrimination. Well, that was kind of them to just come right out and say what we all knew. The Heritage Foundation won't accept any LGBT protections, no matter the religious exemptions. The Heritage Foundation has been called a driving force behind Trump White House due to his many close ties to the administration. This week, Heritage issued a new report drawing a strict line in opposition to any kind of non-discrimination protection for LGBT people, citing religious freedom as such a vital right that any LGBT law would be a burden, regardless of whether it offered even the broadest of religious exemptions. So, here, two things about this. One, you're saying you can't protect LGBT people from discrimination, or else that violates my religion. So, like, if you pass a law that you can't just fire a person for being gay, well, somehow you violated my religion. That's number one. That's completely fucked up, right? The second thing is, the law that they could pass, which says we're going to protect people from discrimination with exception to religious exemptions. So, which means, like, Heritage Foundation, churches, schools that private schools that are based off religion, they will be able to continue to fire people that are LGBT because they could just file an exemption, which is, hey, this has to do with our religion. We don't want this person working here, you know, and it's not about discrimination. It's about our religion, right? They won't even accept that. Now, I don't think either one of those things are acceptable. Point being, they are so gung-ho about we need to ostracize and discriminate against LGBT people that they're like, we don't even give a fuck if you were to allow us via a loophole for religious stuff. That's not good enough. We just want it completely off the books. We should be able to discriminate against people. That is the scariest shit ever.
Right. And when people do this, that comes 100% from a place of privilege. Because if you were the target, that's the thing, when you, particularly white people, are never a target of these fucking hate crimes. They're never a target of these hate crimes. If they were ever a target of these goddamn hate crimes, race crimes, sexuality crimes, it would change. Mm-hmm. But because they never target, they don't give a fuck. They have no empathy and sympathy for people. They don't look at other people as goddamn human beings.
Yep. I remember a long time ago, I went to their water park. Heritage USA has those are the same people. Like, they have water parks, and I remember going to one. I mean, I was a kid. I didn't know any of that shit, but I just remember they had like a bunch of Christian music playing over the intercom, and I was just like, this is extremely religious for a fucking water park. Like, it's like going to Carowinds and all they play is hymns. Like, at some point, I'm like, yo, this ain't creepy to everybody. But yeah, I just remember going there and just thinking like, yeah, this is not my speed at all. And I was just a kid, you know, but here's what I'm saying though. That place employs people. They would like to be able to discriminate against LGBT people. Going into the water park, I bet they love to discriminate against customers. Like, nope, can't come in here. You know, gay, no, you look a little too gay coming in the door like that. So you got
and,
that shit.
And the thing that's fucked up about that, there are men and women who quote unquote don't fit the stereotype, but they're straight. Mm-hmm. There might be some men who quote unquote look feminine, might have a high pitched voice, might do things that people quote unquote claim more womanly features, but they're straight as a board. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And for women, some of the same things, like, I'm 100% woman and I'm not gay. I just might have certain features, quote unquote, that might make me appear a certain way to people. And so all of a sudden I get discriminated against because you just assume this. Mm-hmm. And it might not even be true.
Yep. That's one of the main people behind Trump's campaign. And
right, but then when people go, I'm not going to support you, I'm not going to give you my money, all of a sudden this fucking problem. You can't have it both ways. You can't do this shit and then still want people to support you.
I just don't think the government should be taking away protections for people.
Right.
I just don't understand how anyone in this country thinks that that's good governing. Those people, like, the people we're talking about are American citizens. Like, how does it harm your religion to say, I won't fire you for being gay? I don't give a fuck what your religion is. We're talking about a job at this point. We're not talking about your church. I'm not trying to attend your church. You know, I'm not trying to go to whatever fucking service you have on Sunday. I'm just trying to go to work 40 hours a week or whatever. And you're trying to strip people from their right to work. It's mm-hmm. This country has, especially white people, but this country really has such an attachment to work. Like,
sometimes it's ridiculous.
People's jobs define them.
Right.
And the ability to have a job is considered to be a protected right to many people. It's not. Mm-mm. But it's considered that, by which I mean white people got to hide their bigotry this year behind the idea that white people didn't have enough jobs. Even like, the whole country got to say, like, you can't say white people voted for a racist, homophobic bigot. You can't say that. What you can say is the white working class needs to get more jobs so that won't have to deal with people like Trump. That's what you can say, even though we know that that's not really the truth.
Right, because you have the lowest percentage of unemployed compared to any other group. What are we talking about here?
But the right to work is considered such an innate right, is what I'm saying, especially when you're a white person. The opposite must also be true. The biggest way to injure somebody in those type of people's minds is to take away their right to work. You know what I mean? Like, if I despise you, I don't want you to be able to earn a living. I don't want you to be able to feel secure in your job. I don't want you to feel entitled to your job. Politician after politician has to find some way to appease out of work, underskilled white people in the middle of this country.
Come on.
Every single election cycle, they had to go there and they had to lie and they had to say coal is coming back and factory jobs are coming back and
prices get fucking educated.
Right, they had to say a bunch of shit. Right, they had the Mexicans took your job, everybody took your job,
everything to make you feel better and stroke your ego. Versus here's the program. A lot of times they offer this shit for free and they're like, nah, fuck it. And you're like, okay.
Well, they have to do that because that's how entitled white people feel to jobs. That's how entitled voters feel to jobs. That's how, well, this to me is like such an attack on somebody's humanity to come at their ability to have a job. You're essentially saying you should not have a job unless you stop being LGBT. That's it. Like, we found out you was gay, bruh. We gotta let you go. We just gotta let you go. Like, well, I feel like that's discrimination. I'm doing my job well. I'm fitting in. You've never had a problem with me. Yeah, we gotta fire you. You gay. I'm gonna sue. Yeah, you can't. The government won't let you. This is a valid reason to fire you. It's as valid as if you didn't do the job well. That's what the Heritage USA Foundation wants on the books. That's what they want on the books. And they want to take it so far as to say, not just for their stupid ass religious institutions, such as their schools or their water parks or whatever the fuck else they do. They also want to make it so that if I just am a religious dude that's a manager at Lowe's, I can just go lay a dude off because he's gay. And my religious exemption protects me. So I can go, hey, it's against my religion to let this gay dude work here at Lowe's. I get to say that and go, let's go to the Supreme Court and battle it out. But that guy can't go, or a woman can't be like, well, I'm a trans person and this person is discriminating against me. Yeah, well, your rights aren't protected. His is, because he's Christian. Something nobody's born. Something that is a choice.
Hello.
Something that's a lifestyle choice.
Right.
But we're going to treat it like it's a fucking inalienable right that everybody is entitled to. It's
right.
It's such backwards thinking. It's extremely scary that people can think that way and still navigate this country.
Right. And because I always look at things from the spectrum of race, you target one group, my black ass is on the list next. All of a sudden, you start creeping, well, we can fire people over race. Well, you know, like things that people have been the foundation of the country, not always, but for a while, like that's what my mind always go to the extreme. That's why I fight against giving you a little bit, because I give you a little bit, all of a sudden,
well,
you want to take everything.
I mean, I think it is all connected, but to be honest, that's not even, I just think it's wrong.
Right.
Before we even get to, it could be me one day. It's just wrong. It's, even if I felt the security of it never being me. Even in this state, we saw what happened when they rolled through the transgender bill and they rolled back the ability, basically, you could discriminate and fire people at jobs. They put the stuff for race back into the law. So like, okay, look, you can't fire people for being black. So you can still fire them for being LGBT. Right. I'm saying, while it is connected, I didn't go, whew, well, all right. If they can't fire me, that's all that matters. Like that. So I'm not even saying it's just about the fact that it could one day be us. It's just the fact that especially since they're black LGBT people already, it's already us. And if it's any of us, then it's all of us. So
right.
People have to get their shit together and speak out about it and vote against it, man. Like, you know, these motherfuckers are full court pressing right now.
Yes, they are.
You know, as much as I love Danica, man, that's why I can't go with the I respect their passion, or there's nothing bad, you know, there's something good in everybody. I can't do it, because that's how you allow the evil that people do to fester, because you don't want to fight against their shit, because you want to see something good in them. But that's why I can't have, there's no quarter to some of this shit. It has to be driven out, because if not, you can't have progress. You can't have partial progress. You can't have difference of opinion on people's rights and shit. You just can't.
Right. And that's why on some things, I just kind of stand my ground and I'm like, no, like, you know, yeah. I understand people compromise and things like that, but it's certain things I'm just like, no, I do not care. I will not back down. I will not fold, because it's one of the things where I've always looked at a lot of things when it comes to LGBTQ, regardless of if I'm in this group or not. A, I know there are black people in this group, and there are people of all races, creeds, religions in this particular group, and all of them are not Christian. You're affecting these people. And it's one of the things, too, the same tactics, and we said it before, these same tactics are the same tactics you use against black people. I'm not crazy, and I'm not dumb. So I will fight for their rights just as hard as, like it's me.
Yeah, that, I mean, like I said, I completely understand your point. I was making a separate point. Even if I felt that it would never be us, because I do think all that bigotry shit is connected.
Right.
And a lot of people that talk that shit that are like in other marginalized groups, they come for your ass eventually.
Come on.
You know. But even if I felt that they never were, still not right. You know, still got to say something. A California bill would allow trans inmates to legally change their name and gender. That's some good news. Shout out to California, man. They always holding it down out there while the rest of the country just burns to smithereens. California out there like, you know what? We need to work on some things ourselves.
California is like, I don't know what the rest of y'all doing.
Right. A new bill introduced in California would make it easier for transgender inmates in the state to legally change their name or gender. The bill was introduced by State Senator Tony Atkins. The Democrat says that her bill would allow state prison inmates to apply for legal changes without having to seek approval from prison officials. Good. Atkins' bill would apply to those incarcerated in county jails. The bill would effectively equalize the right of those incarcerated to change their name to gender or gender legally as those outside of prison. The senator argues that the new law will help trans inmates chances of full rehabilitation. A transgender prisoner in California earlier this year underwent gender reassignment surgery paid for by the state this week, a first case of its kind in America. Shiloh Queen, was promised that the state would pay for the procedure in 2015 after settlement was made, which stated that the U.S. must offer treatment. Under its terms, the state agreed to allow inmates who are transgender to have gender dysphoria access to clothing, toiletries, and other items consistent with their gender identities. For those like Shiloh, whose doctors agree that surgery is medically appropriate, the state will pay for the procedure. The cost was not specified. Kriya Hayashi, the executive director for the Transgender Law Center, said that the surgery set precedent for others seeking surgery. Good. All that sounds like good news. Sounds like they can't do it to the federal prisons in California, though, because obviously, you know,
if they could, they would.
Trans woman JoJo Stryker was shot and killed in Toledo, and of course initially misgendered in media reports. These all start to sound the same after a while, but this is different from yesterday.
The other one was in Louisiana, right?
Yeah. This is Toledo,
Ohio, I'm assuming.
Police found the body of JoJo Stryker, 23, in an empty garage in Toledo, Ohio, February 8th. WTOL reported Stryker died of a single gunshot wound to her torso. Police do not currently have a suspect or motive for her death. So that shit probably going unsolved, because police probably don't really give a fuck. And they believe the killing was a hate crime, her family. The police told us, leave it alone, but that would never happen because I will always search for my son's killer. Shonda Stryker, the mother of JoJo, told WTOL, this is a hate crime and it needs to stop. You know, I'll say this. it's weird that people draw the line of, I will acknowledge that my, this point that this woman's trying to make, this mom, I'll acknowledge that my son was gay or something, so this is a hate crime probably, and I do want it to be prosecuted as a hate crime, but I will not acknowledge that my son is actually my daughter. You know what I mean? Like, I won't acknowledge that. Now, I don't know if this is vindictive type of thing. I don't know if she's purposely misgendering, or if people just don't have the language to right. to really access like the proper terms. And if they, and if it, then trying to navigate it with some benefit of the doubt, because this is this person's loved one. Mm-hmm. If they don't have the language for it, that says so much about how we as a society have so far to fucking go to even discuss this shit.
It's so many people out there, and we've talked about it before, and I had to get used to it when people talk about straight people that call them cishet.
Mm-hmm. Cisgender heterosexual.
Right.
Yeah. Or heteronormative, I believe.
Right. And at first I was like, what is this? And why am I had questions. What is
Well,
this?
Everybody has
and
questions.
Why am I being labeled this? Like, at first I didn't understand. All I knew was people just getting mad up and down and up and down social media. Don't name me that. I was like, I don't even know what the name is to be offended if I'm supposed to be offended. Mm. But I realized that, no, they just calling me what I am.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what privilege is. Privilege means you're not used to being you're used to being the standard, so why would someone name me, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's a male bathroom or a female bathroom. It's a women's or a men's bathroom. But if someone decided that, okay, you know what, from now on, it's just a bathroom or something, there will be people that say that, people who tell trans people just go to the bathroom, it don't matter, I don't care, that will start caring all of a sudden, because now their label was taken off. Like, it means something to be the default, right? It means something. Yeah. That when I look at a person in general and I know nothing about that person, when I see a person in general, my initial thoughts are not just what their gender is, but also how they would express that to the world and who they should fall in love with or have sex with. Like, it's an innate thing. Like, we don't think about it, but it's like you look at a person and you're like, oh yeah, that she is a woman, she probably has sex with men. Those are things that we don't even think about, because it's just a default. Right. You know, now I'm not expecting people to be superhuman mind readers and shit, and I'm also not expecting the world to turn into like this really super progressive thing where everybody's like, I only call people by their names. Like, I think that is pretty, that would be a ridiculous point that we'll probably never get to as human beings. Like, we will always sort of assume the majority settings of whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's a stereotype or not, but the point being, some of the shit is simply a lack of language.
Yeah.
And a lack of learning and a lack of being like even approached by this stuff. I mean, as applicable in real life as people's lives are when it comes to being transgender, for many, 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 many Americans, it's academic.
Yeah, because they don't have to live the life. And I think for me, I've grown and I've learned the language, and I still don't know all the language, and I'm, you know.
Well, language evolves. Nobody could ever learn all the language.
Right. And it's one of those things. And I remember the first time I went to like a unisex bathroom, I literally looked at that sign like, what the hell is this? And I know that might sound ignorant, but I really looked at that sign going, okay, it's not male, it's not female. Then I was like, am I in the right bathroom? Am I even supposed to be here? Like, I just had tons of questions. And Morgan was with me. She was like, oh, you go to the bathroom? I was like, oh, okay. That's, y'all gotta let me know so I can go piss.
Yeah, well, I think in general, when I see some of these reports and it's like they misgendered her or misgendered him, depending on the article, I like, part of me does think, wow, even in death, here we go, trying to change this narrative, trying to shame this person. But then sometimes it's like, or they just don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you just don't know. And I'm sure there's people that are trans that live lives where look, man, I don't have time to be fucking lecturing everybody. I don't have time to fucking, like, everybody's not gonna take a fucking gender studies course. I don't even have the time. Like, I don't even have the terms and shit. I just know I am how I am, and people relate to me this way and that. It's not like because society's become more aware of this issue, and trans people's lives in the last few years, for most of society that is aware, it's not like that means there were never trans people our whole lives. Like, we've just been calling them other shit our whole lives. We've been, that's a girl, boy, that's a she, he, that's a tranny, like a whole bunch of fucking terms that, you know, may or may not be offensive at this point. But the point being, we're catching up as a society to something that's already existed for years. And that, so sometimes when you see these interviews of these people, I wonder, is this a case of, because sometimes it is legitimately them being like, fuck that, I will not, even in death, I will deny the fact that you are trans. And then sometimes I'm like, do they just literally not know, and not like, this ain't the Google neighborhood, like this ain't they're not on Twitter, they're not quote unquote woke, they're not fighting this battle every day, they're just like, that is Kevin, and that's all I know. I don't, you know, I have not done any research or care to know anything further about that. And that's not even to say as an excuse, it just always makes me think about how far we have to go as a society where people will realize how that's a grave, that's a horrible thing to do to somebody, even in death, you know? Right.
And I think, like you say, it's a disservice to the country by keeping people ignorant to these things that have kind of always been around them and not educating them.
Why do you think they roll back the transgender bathroom laws in schools? They don't want to talk about it.
Right.
They don't want kids to know about this. They don't want kids to be educated about it. The thing is, you can't stop kids from being educated. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't stop kids from learning this shit. But that's what they're really trying to do. It's the same reason they try to take slavery out of textbooks. Like, they don't want kids to interact with this idea, because the idea in their mind is dangerous.
Right, right. And that's the problem. And in a lot of other situations, like, it's sad, but for some people, whenever they come out and talk about their family members that are transgender, they might not have even known. Like, they might have found out because of the death.
Like, yeah, that's another thing.
You know, people die, and then they go, well, oh, I don't know. I wish they could have told me. Go ahead.
Right. No, you got it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, some people are like, well, I wish they would have told me. You know, they might be like, well, maybe I put up a vibe that was like they didn't feel comfortable, you know, letting me know. And they might not have the language. And in their mind, I've always known you as this sex. I've never known you as what you consider yourself.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it does, like, we've read articles where it's a flat-out denial.
Right.
Like, I don't give a fuck what he called himself. He was a he or whatever. I've seen that. But then we've also seen these ones where, like, the friends of the person would be like, well, they didn't stay with their family, and she was this way, and she was that. And so that person absolutely is, you could tell they were in that person's life. So they were, like, getting the terms right. They're talking about their living situation and shit. And then you have these families where a lot of times trans people get estranged from their families. Right. A lot of times hard to hold jobs down. A lot of times, you know, you're dealing with sex work, things of this nature. Mm-hmm. So you might not have the most fucking progressive surroundings with all that shit. And it's sad when the media kind of is complicit in the misgendering shit, but police will even report it. Like, cause most of the time the news comes straight from the police report. So the police will be like, Kevin Jones, he was the male, no matter what. You know what I mean? So, it's just, like I said, it just shows how much as a society we just have so long to go. Cause to be honest, for most of these news reports, it would just take an extra check on a fucking, form.
Right.
Like, isn't that amazing? Like, that's amazing to me. It's like just a box of like, well, what gender did they go by? What gender do they present as? Even if you had to have like this birth gender thing on your police report for you know, I don't know, for police purposes, I don't know. I'm not trying to
statistics. Or
yeah, I'm not trying to say that is somehow irrelevant or whatever. But what I am saying is, if a news reporter is gonna go use your shit to talk about what happened that night in this crime. A trans woman being killed is a hate crime is very relevant, and also relevant to other trans women in the area and shit, as opposed to you just being like, Kevin Jones was killed today, he was shot in the alley. People are gonna be like, okay, a dude got killed last night, that's it. You know, when you could have a trans serial killer for all we know, and right, we wouldn't find out until someone else did some research and figured out y'all motherfuckers left it out. You gotta wait for their friends to tweet about it or something. Like, that's sad, man. That's why stats don't keep up with this shit. But JoJo Stryker, Toledo, this was in, I'll say, yeah, February 14th. Damn, Valentine's Day they reported this. So Stryker's death has shaken many in the communities, young transgender women who already feel Toledo's environment is extremely oppressive to trans women, especially trans women of color. We recognize this could be any of us, Fairchild said. This is the struggle with a lot of transgender women. They're looking for a place for acceptance and looking for a peace of mind. Fairchild took issue with the local reports that said Stryker's criminal past and that it may have played a role in her death. To use that in order to dehumanize her and her passing was unacceptable to me. Friends and family and people on social media shared pictures and messages to Stryker online. Equality Toledo created a GoFundMe page to help with the funeral costs for Stryker. In 3 days, the fundraiser amassed over $1,400, still shy of his $3,600 goal. That's another thing. A lot of these GoFundMes for funerals. Because you got to think, when you don't have a job, you might not have, like, health insurance, you might not have life insurance. Essentially it's up to other people to find a way to even pay to bury you. This is the third homicide of a trans or gender non-conforming person the organization has responded to so far in 2017. Well, we know that that's now up to like 9 or some shit as of like yesterday. So,
and those are the ones that we know of,
right? All right, let's get to some other news. Let's see what else we got here. Ben and Jerry's new cereal. Let's go with something positive here, guys. Ben and Jerry has new cereal milk ice creams that are the perfect splashback.
That sounds delicious.
So basically what they do is they take cereal milk. So you know how you guys eat cereal, and everybody eats it. Well, most people that know how to eat cereal.
You leave me alone.
I didn't say no names, Karen.
I can hear the judgment in your voice. Yes, I pour a bowl of milk and pour my cereal in.
As I said, for those of us that that know how to eat cereal.
I know how to eat cereal too.
That follow the instructions.
There's no instructions on the box to say you got to do it your way.
After we eat the cereal out, there's a lot of milk left over that tastes like cereal.
After you've enjoyed your cereal that you have had your milk with, and you get down to the bottom and you have milk left at the bottom of the bowl, it tastes like cereal.
Why won't you let me get my story out, Cam?
Because the nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy, you understand?
I'm just trying to finish the story.
I'm trying to help you finish the story because I
listen, feel nobody
the shade over here.
Nobody talking bad about your way you eat your cereal. Nobody talking. I didn't say a single word.
Well, the right way.
I'm just talking about the way that people normally eat cereal.
Whatever. Last time I checked the side of a box, it don't say you have to eat a certain way.
Sure. Whatever it takes. As I was saying, I mean, I guess you don't know then why are you excited? You wouldn't know what the hell cereal milk tastes like then.
I do.
Okay, so then either way, then why won't you let me get on the story? Nobody was talking about those cereal.
Yeah, you was.
Cereal milk.
The right way.
Cereal milk. The conventional way. Is that better? You happy?
Yep.
That's conventional. That's how most people eat cereal, Karen. They pour a bowl of cereal and they pour milk in it. You are in denial of the facts. This is alternative facts. What the hell is happening right now? Fine. All right. Anyway, moving on. They took that. Why do I care about this story? I don't care about this story anymore. Fuck this story.
You can finish the
No. We just move on. Nick Cannon.
You can finish the story.
Nope. Talk about Reverend Dr. Nick Cannon. was never gonna be able to finish that story.
I was gonna let you finish, but I felt the judgment.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy your milk agenda.
I will.
Now you won't even know which flavors they had. So
I sure won't.
Nope.
Chocolate chip, vanilla, mint.
That's not, those aren't cereals.
But those are flavors.
You wanna know which flavors of cereal milk they had? Which flavors did they use, Karen?
I don't know, tell me.
Exactly. You don't know. Because you wouldn't let me even finish the story.
You can finish.
It was Trix. What was it? It was Coco Loco, Fruit Loops, and Frozen Flakes. Hmm. So I guess one of them is based off of I guess Coco Puffs. Mm-hmm. keep in mind, these are ice creams. They frozen the milk, you know, it's ice cream. One of them was based off of Frosted Flakes, and what? The other one was based off the milk from Fruit Loops.
Okay.
I want all of these.
That sounds delicious.
The problem is the three flavors. Let me see. Wait, when are they coming out?
Are they for a limited time or something?
If you want to scoop one or all of these cereal milk ice cream flavors, make sure to head to a scoop shop starting today. Ooh, to pick it up nationwide. So we gotta go to an ice cream place. If you live in New York City, there's a special event celebrating the new flavors at Grand Central Station from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Well, we all missed that.
question. Can I buy it at the grocery store?
It's in stores.
Okay.
They said go to scoop shop, so I'm assuming stores. Maybe okay, they meant Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Okay. I don't know which. I don't know which, by the way.
Well, we're going to go then.
I definitely wanted to try it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the right thing to do. Dr. Reverend Nick Cannon questions why all the potential America's Got Talent hosts black. Why, Karen? Why they gotta be black?
I don't know. I ain't got an uncle. I don't know.
Okay. You haven't thought about it clearly. And that's what's wrong with you. Comedian and actor Marlon Wayans, former Disney actor Brian Michael Smith, and comedian Tone Bell are in the running to succeed Nick Cannon as the host of NBC's America's Got Talent after he left the show last month. However, Cannon is wondering why each of the potential hosts are black. Okay.
Cause you want to replace the brother with another brother. I'm a real brother. None of them can be as real as the honorable Nick Reverend Dr. Cannon. Like, they can't be like me. They unk don't smell like mine. Like, you know, you can't be like me, you know, because I'm draped in them robes. Any of them niggas wear robes? No. Okay. Any of them niggas got degrees? No.
He was confronted by TMZ where he spoke to their cameras about it. Cause
what do we have to say?
I'm about to try to play the video. See what kind of knowledge Nick was trying to drop on us. Oh, it's only 57 seconds. Hold on, let me see if I can play
and
this.
TMZ's video. Clips don't be long. They go straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Doop, 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 doop.
All right, it's loaded. All right, take your time.
No. TMZ be knowing.
Yeah, I'm sure they just rolled up and was like, hey, Nick, you still cooned? Or whatever questions. You know, they always ask some fucked up questions.
Yeah, the answer.
Nick, when you gonna raise your kids? Nick, can we get you? Nick, why you look like Mr. Popo from Dragon Ball Z? What's going on with that hat? Nick, are you wrapping your hair up for the night? You wrapping your hair up so you can go to bed? You got rollers under there?
Right.
Nick, can please, Nick. I don't know why this video, I just don't want to load. I don't know. I will just let it simmer in the background then.
Okay.
I don't know. This might just be an issue with it. I think my TMZ videos haven't been playing lately. Oh, wait. I'm going to try one more thing. Hold on. See if I can play
might
it.
Might be
in,
whatever they little flash thing is.
Yeah, it might be a Firefox issue. Let me just give it a chance to play in Chrome and see if that fixes it. And if not, then we know that it's just racism. And the white man trying to silence Nick Cannon from speaking up the truth.
And he is not here for it.
All right, let me see.
You're not gonna replace him with another brother.
Don't want to play in Chrome either.
Oh shit.
The white man has effectively silenced Nick Cannon. And that's sad, to be honest. I'm sure it's going to be deep, too. All right, let me try one more thing.
Oh, you know it's going to be real deep.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find it on YouTube. Because TMZ might have a YouTube channel, and those videos do play for me.
Yeah, they do.
TMZ okay, yeah, YouTube they do. Channel. All right, well, I'll try it from here. Thanks for sticking around, audience. I know it's a lot to deal with when the shit doesn't work on the fly like this on a live show. All right, let me see if I can get to play on the tube. All right, cool, it's loading.
Hey, Nick, any advice to your successor on AGT?
Man, just have fun with it.
Who do you want to see? You want to see Marlon? You want to see Bell? Or you want to see Mike?
Why are they going with the black guy? Why they came against the white? I think Mario Lopez should do it.
Mario, do it.
He opened his car door, y'all. That's what y'all are hearing. His.
Oh!
I guess that's his music.
That's the hotel theme song? What's happening here?
No, I got the hotel theme song playing in the background, but still. That was just his car door.
I think he should break dance on that shit.
Any thoughts about Mel B's father passing, Nick?
Yeah. What'd you say?
Any thoughts about Mel B's father passing?
Oh, man, much love and support to her and her family, man. I mean, that's someone I truly care for. And, you know, when times get hard, you definitely all you can do is pray. So, you know, shalom. All respect.
How's father?
Big love. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right.
So, Karen, why do all the hosts got to be black? Think it's a conspiracy by the man to keep the black man in his pocket? Mm-hmm. You think that Nick Cannon would be happy that another black man might get a job, but apparently he thinks Mario Lopez should get it and not a black person. So I just feel like someone at ABC, NBC, or whatever just finally got a hold of some of his shit. Like he went on Howard Stern, kept talking that weird shit. He finally said it. Well, some white people was listening, and they was like, this nigga got to go.
And you know what? Some young, believe you me, it was a young person, wasn't nobody old. Some young person who was hip to the game kept hearing Hotep thrown around with his name and Googled that shit and was like, oh no, they went to Barry, you might want to get rid of him. Here's evidence of the shit he's been doing that we didn't know nothing about.
I just honestly think he went on Howard Stern and old white people listened to it.
Right.
I don't even think it was.
Oh, nobody.
Nobody Googled shit. Nobody gave a fuck about no intern. It was just like,
nigga, you can't be fucking up our money.
He went on Howard Stern. They said, have y'all heard the shit Nick Cannon is talking about? And they were like, he got to go. All
right.
How long? And then they saw, that's when they Googled it. It was like, Jesus Christ, this nigga been talking crazy for 2 years. How come no one paid attention? They was like, we don't check on the black ones, boss, you know.
He looked clean cut.
Explicit photos of female Marines were posted online and the Navy is investigating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, potentially hundreds of explicit photos of current and former female Marines and other service members has been posted online. It's been confirmed. A private Facebook group called Marines United contained a link to a Google Drive folder where the photos were being stored. A U.S. defense official told CNN members of the site solicited others to submit photos of women without their knowledge. The cloud storage folder has been removed at the request of the military. It was not clear to the Defense Department how many current or former Marines may be involved in the potential wrongdoing. A former Marine originally brought the matter to the attention of the Marine Corps last month. We are thankful that Thomas Brennan, put his name on it, a Marine veteran, notified the Marine Corps and the NCIS about what he witnessed on the Marines United page. It allows us to take immediate action and have explicit photos taken down to prepare to support potential victims. We are exploring what actions should be taken to best address this form of harassment in the future.
And it's several things. One, they shouldn't have put his name out there because now he's going to be a target. Like, people don't really think about, a lot of times people think about people, the victims, the way the society is so fucked up, you standing up for somebody else's right will make your ass a target too. And so you put him as a target. And our president fucking sexual harassed. Do you think that they actually give a fuck? They already have problems with not prosecuting rape, dealing with superiors, not believing superiors that are fucking harassing people up underneath them. It's one of them things, but this is a whole fucked up situation, and I do not trust them to handle this with the delicacy and care that they should. And what's even fucked up is that we talked about this before. Men do this out of shaming women. That's all this is. You, even if these women agreed to have these pictures taken of them, which I don't believe all of them may have. Some of these pictures may have been taken without these women's permission. Like nobody really knows.
They were almost all of them. No, that's the thing. The contest, whatever it was, it sounds like there were a group of men who had this Facebook group that was private, and within this group they shared pictures of women that were Marines that were taken without their knowledge, and then they encouraged others to get pictures of the women, more pictures, so the women don't know that these pictures are out there,
right?
And apparently it became public when this person essentially snitched, you know,
right? And who knows how many people's in the group, and who knows how many men seen that. And you know what, these are the quote-unquote fucking allies that come and smile on your face and I got your back and ain't men dogs and ain't men trash, and I'm supposed to look at you and fucking trust you? Get the whole entire fuck out of here. Because I guarantee you it's other men who had a problem with this too, but you know what they didn't do? Report it.
Yeah, I mean, that's that socialization and pressure that a lot of men have as part of being a man. Like, it's the same way that I say white men get socialized towards being conservative the older they get. Men in groups, it's one of the reasons that, like, as much as people will sometimes like come at me on some like, you know, you think men are the worst, are you trying to say we this, that, and the other, as much as people do that, low-key they either in denial or they know exactly what I'm talking about,
right?
Because groups of men do groups of man shit, and it's normally something fucked up towards women if you think about it. So I'm not really surprised by this story, to be honest with you. It's such a gross violation of people's privacy, right? And shit, obviously. I appreciate, I don't know how the guy's name got out there. Now I don't know if he is one of those people that's like, I want my name out there, I don't give a fuck, or if it's they officially get to say your name because you're the one who came forward. Because I think sometimes that's how they keep people from coming forward, is by being like, well, you got to put your name on this shit. Mm-hmm. Either way, I'm glad it's out there. I'm glad they're looking into it. I'm glad they're doing something about it. I will be interested to see what, if any, punishment comes, how widespread it was.
Right.
Because, I mean, you technically, you know, this is the kind of shit that should probably have people like kicked out of the Marines or the military or whatever.
Right. They ought to go through that fucking Facebook page and be like, who the fuck was on here? Who did what? Like, but then I guarantee you they're not going to be that detailed.
Yeah. They might. I don't know. I'm not going to assume they won't. I won't assume they won't. I just wonder what happens when it's, if it's widespread enough that they feel that we can't punish all these people. Because I wouldn't be shocked if it's very widespread, you know? We'll see. Hopefully some people get in trouble, because that's terrible, man. And you know, for people to like get so mad when you bring up the military and homophobia and misogyny and shit, for people to get so defensive, well, you're talking bad about the military. It's like, well, I'm not talking bad as much as y'all are doing bad shit. And I'm saying, you know, this is not what this country should be about. This is not what the military should be about. Police are looking for Young Thug after he allegedly slapped a woman. Hmm. Yep.
I heard of this young one, haven't I?
He's a rapper, okay. Young Thug. Yeah. You might know him from Liberty Now But Not Lifestyle.
Yeah, like I remember that young one. You know, sometimes all them young folks sound the same, but I remember this Young Thug.
He also is known for wearing dresses sometimes, and
okay,
people always get like on this. It's a complicated issue because people want to like push at him for being like, he's against toxic masculinity. You guys get so mad at him for wearing a dress, because there are homophobic people that get mad at him for wearing a dress. And so then they kind of like protect this dude. But at the same time, his music, his image, his past, he's not some he's not this dude out here trying to be a progressive artist that challenges masculinity, like niggas shoot people, hit women, raps about misogynistic shit. Like, he don't fit into the box that people want to put him in on either side. Like, he, and sometimes he'll put on a dress, you know, that's how I look at it. Well, according to his, to TMZ, his fiance Jerrica Carlay was arguing with Valerie Raven, a woman who once worked with the Jeffrey artist. While it's unclear what the argument was about, is being reported Carlay and Raven exchanged words outside of Palace when Thug allegedly slapped Raven. Thug and Carlay left prior to law enforcement arriving. Raven has reportedly filed a battery report with police. However, TMZ posted a video of the scene in which the altercation took place. And while you can hear the witnesses say that Raven was going to get paid or that he slapped the shit out of her, but the footage doesn't show him actually striking the woman. Still. Yeah. Came par for the course of that dude. Well, I'm sure he'll throw on a dress and people will be like, he is against the toxic masculinity and why we need to support him and all that shit too. Virginia teachers will reportedly join a Day Without a Woman demonstration prompting school closures. So the Women's March organizers seek to leave an impact on history this month by calling a women's worldwide on women worldwide not to engage in paid and unpaid work on March 8th. In recent news, 300 public school workers within the Alexandria City public school system have already requested the day off to reportedly participate in the women's strike. According to CNN, those employees in the Virginia-based school district will not report to work, prompting school officials to nix classes out of the 16 schools within the area that will be closed. Six schools will remain open to serve students breakfast and lunch. This is not a decision that was made lightly. We have been closely monitoring requests to leave on March 8th, including communicating with school teachers and our education association. A statement from ACPS reads, the decision is based solely on our ability to provide sufficient staff to cover all of our classrooms and the impact on high self absenteeism on student safety and delivery of instruction. It is not based on a political stance or position. So essentially, enough women said, I'm not coming to work that day, that they can't have school. Well,
and the thing is, to me, what's fucked up is that people take marginalized groups for granted, and a lot of shit don't function and run without us, and that's something that people don't want to admit. You know, women be like, fuck it, I'm not going into work today. It's a lot of shit that will not get goddamn done. A lot of shit that won't get done.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Obviously, when it comes to work strike thing, it's, there's some privilege involved in having a job that you can even request off, and
right,
having the financial situation to be able to take a day off. So I understand that people are gonna say this is problematic and they probably shouldn't do blah blah blah. I get it. And obviously, if you're in a situation where you can't do it, don't do it, you know, go to work. But I would say, I think it's dope that they're trying to keep the momentum going from the original march, which happened like January 21st or something. People have been saying, well, let's see what y'all do later. Let's see if y'all keep this shit going up until it's time to vote, and let's see how many y'all are down for the cause and all this shit. I think for some people it's kind of, you know, we'll see. I'm sure there'll be marches coordinated with this and things of that nature. And I like I said, I think it's kind of cool to have like a day of at least voicing your displeasure, and especially being that it's not necessarily tied to one specific thing. Like, it's not like the airports, it's not like you know, it's a planned action ahead of time. You know, and I hope that the women of color they had at the head are at least being heard and still active and keeping people participating. And I'll be looking forward to see what the turnout looks like, man. To be honest, who doesn't, you know, who takes that day off and who doesn't put out that product and who doesn't come to work, and what the impact will be on the world when they see, like, this is what it looks like, you know, when, like, this is the impact women have on our society, you know. So yeah, March 8th is the day, and we'll see what happens. All right, uh, U.S. judge finds that Aetna deceived the public about reasons for quitting Obamacare.
No shit.
You trying to tell me an insurance giant lied about something? I don't know. I don't know if I could believe this, man.
Yeah, they were saying that with Obamacare, a lot of them were losing money because for the first time ever, people were actually fucking using the services. And they were having people filing and all this shit, like, at record numbers.
Okay, so well,
they were losing a lot of money.
They claim that they were pulling out of all but four of the 15 states where it was providing Obamacare individual insurance because of a business decision. It was simply losing too much money on the Obama exchanges. That's what they were saying, Karen. Well, federal judges ruled that that was a lie. They weren't losing money. Mm. Yeah. You out the white man's lies, Karen. In fact, says Judge John D. Bates, Aetna made this decision at least partially in response to a federal antitrust lawsuit blocking its proposed $34 billion merger with Humana. Aetna threatened federal officials with the pullout before the lawsuit was filed and followed through on his threat once it was filed. Bates made the observation in court of a ruling he issued Monday blocking the merger. Aetna executives had moved heaven and earth to conceal the decision-making process from the court, in part by discussing the matter on phone rather than on email, and by shielding what did get put in writing with the cloak of attorney-client privilege, a practice Bates found came close to malfeasance. The judge's conclusions about Aetna's real reason for pulling out of Obamacare, as opposed to the rationalization that the company made in public, are crucial for debate over the fate of the Affordable Care Act. That's because the company's withdrawal has been exploited by Republicans to justify repealing the act. See, they were hoping that people would buy what they said, you know, the way you were saying it, so they could be like, well, we can convince the country, well, we're only losing money because so many people are using this shit, we're gonna go out of business. Like, we could, like, right, like essentially saying, right? Deal, right.
Well, but even reporting, you
but
know.
That's a Republican talking point.
Okay.
Well, we better repeal it then. We don't want Aetna to go out of business. Obamacare is bad for business. Well, that's not true. They were lying. And the fact that many, many Republicans are using this line of logic to advocate for repealing the Affordable Care Act is dangerous. You know, like, it's very dangerous. And also just the fact that the company wasn't losing this money but was willing to risk all this shit because of this antitrust lawsuit is the pettiest, richest shit ever. Just last week, House Speaker Paul Ryan cited Aetna's action on the Charlie Rose Show, saying how it proved how shaky the exchanges were. Bates found that this rationalization was largely untrue. In fact, he noted Aetna pulled out of some states and counties that were actually profitable to make a point in his lawsuit defense, and then misled the public about his motivations. Bates' analysis relies on part on a smoking gun letter to the Justice Department in which Chief Executive Mark Bertolini explicitly ties Aetna's participation in Obamacare to the Department of Justice actions on the merger, which we reported in August, but it goes much further. Among the locations where Aetna withdrew were 17 counties in three states where the Department of Justice asserted the merger would produce unlawfully low levels of competition on the individual exchanges.
Right, they didn't want monopolies.
Right. By pulling out now keep in mind, Republicans swear that the problem is the insurance companies have monopolies, and a lot of their solutions are like, we'll make open market competition and it'll lower prices for everybody. Well, this merger essentially undoes there will be no competition. It'll simply be, you either get Aetna or you don't get shit right now. Okay, so by pulling out, Aetna could say that it wasn't competing in those counties exchanges anyway, rendering the government's point moot. The evidence provides persuasive support for the conclusion that Aetna withdrew from the on exchange markets in the 17 complaint counties to improve its litigation position. The court does not credit the minimal efforts of Aetna executives to claim otherwise. Indeed, he wrote, Aetna's decision to pull out of the exchange business in Florida was so far outside of his normal business practice that it perplexed the company's top executive in Florida, who was not in the decision loop. I just can't make sense out of the Florida decision, executive Christopher Ciano wrote. Jonathan Mayhew, the head of Aetna's national exchange business, based on the latest run rate data, we are making money from the own don't exchange business. Was Florida's performance ever debated? Mayhew told him to discuss the matter by phone, not email, to avoid leaving a paper trail. Bates found reason to believe that Atna soon will be selling exchange plans in Florida again. So they knew. They were complicit. They were covering the shit up. They were actually making money.
Right. This is kind of productive, like, to business.
Everything that Obama said about the Affordable Care Act, right, and how, like, this will be good for everybody. More people will be covered. The insurance companies, if you go along with it, you'll be fine. Businesses, your cost for healthcare will be reduced, right, in many cases. And motherfuckers were like, make it as difficult as possible because it's change. And these motherfuckers won't let us merge and become essentially a monopoly throughout areas of America. That is so scary.
And basically hike fucking rates, which is kind of productive to the exchange.
And of course, many, many Republicans still vote for people that, that want to repeal Obamacare. Like, man, you convince somebody that other people will be injured even as the sword goes through them, they won't mind. Let's see. A Supreme Court rules that jury secrecy can be lifted if racial bias is suspected. Decision on longstanding jury deliberation rules stems from a case which a juror reportedly tied a man's guilt to his Mexican heritage, thus depriving him of a fair trial. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Monday that racial bias in the jury room can be a reason for breaching the centuries-old legal principle of secrecy in jury deliberations. The court ruled 5-3 in a Colorado case in which a juror reportedly tied defendant Miguel Angel Pina Rodriguez's guilt to his Hispanic heritage. The juror's statement came to light after Pina Rodriguez was convicted. Two jurors reported that a third juror colleague determined that he was guilty because Pina Rodriguez is a Mexican and Mexican men take whatever they want. I definitely would not want some racist motherfucker deciding my fate in a court and then just being like, well, niggers will do as niggers will do. No need to even review this evidence. Pina Rodriguez said the jurors' views expressed behind the closed doors of the jury room deprived them of a fair trial. Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote, for the majority, the blatant racial prejudice is antithetical to the functioning of the jury system and must be confronted in the egregious cases like this one, despite the general bar of the no impeachment rule. The court's four liberal justices joined with Kennedy to form a majority, but the court stopped short of ordering a new trial or even laying out procedures for lower courts to follow. Instead, Kennedy said trial court should consider the evidence of the juror statement and any resulting denial of the juror trial guarantees. Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, of course, dissented. Today, with the admirable intention providing justice for one criminal defendant, the court not only pries open the door, it rules that respecting the privacy of the jury room, as our legal system has done for centuries, violates the Constitution, Alito wrote. Which is funny, because how many of these trials have we watched where, like, some black person gets killed by the police and then the jury comes out later and starts dropping all kinds of problematic statements in the press and shit, and, well, so-and-so said this and they said that, and we're like, what the fuck? How is this verdict okay when we know that these people are biased and racist and shit? So maybe we'll undo some of that in the future. You can only hope.
Hope so, but in Trump's America, you never know.
2 Chainz fired his entire management staff after his new restaurant failed health inspection. Damn.
How did this happen?
Must have been smoking on that gas. His Escobar restaurant and Tapas scored a 59 out of 100 on his latest health inspection.
Woo, what the fuck was happening in that place? Woo! You ain't even get a 60. At least get a D.
I don't know, man. If you want to eat up in there, you better watch out.
Come on.
Watch out, little bitch. You gonna get sick. Needless to say, far from pristine conditions in the kitchen. Apparently, health inspectors found raw hamburgers and raw shrimp/fish, stored over collard greens and over sweet potatoes.
Wow!
Mm-hmm.
Y'all trying to kill niggas.
that'll do it. That's one way to make sure it gets accomplished. Hope we had some good drinking there at least. In addition to and a mold like substance inside the ice machine. Come on, T-Chains.
Of course he probably, because he probably not even running the shit, he probably was like, okay, here's some money, I'ma put you up. And you know what's so fucked up, it's probably a family member, a friend or something that was like, I run this restaurant, and they don't know what the fuck they were doing.
Well, you can't ignore it, I know that much. He probably gonna get fined a big amount.
He didn't have to spend a lot of money fucking cleaning it up and getting the Dakota. He's just down.
Yeah, he doesn't actually personally manage it. He's not even in town to manage it.
Right.
He said, so he put his staff that he trusted in place to keep things in running order despite a lack of long-term restaurant experience among them.
Come on.
That would have made a good ass reality show. But after a score like that, everyone is out. Sources close to Mr. Chains tell TMZ that the rapper completely cleaned house and got some experienced restaurant managers, each with at least 5 years experience in there to literally clean house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you they'll never get an F again. Because I guarantee you it was a friend or like you say, when shit like that happens, it's somebody who has never worked. They haven't even been a fucking waitress before. They've never worked in the restaurant industry. That's what happens when you have people like that over your shit.
Oh yeah, definitely won't be having hibachi for lunch up in there. But yeah, he thinks his main mistake was giving some less experienced folks a chance. Hopefully that will solve the issue. The health inspection team will be back to have a look around next week.
Yeah, he's torn and shit. Yeah, he don't got time to run it.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at this, I don't see no lies.
Mm-mm.
Should have known the feds watching. Well, when you do it one day at a time and out there slanging birds, just slagging them birds one at a time. Probably felt like capping. Oh, Lord. It's all right, though. All right, let's go to the next segment real quick because we're almost out of time for the first one. So I'm going to move over. Be right back, of course.
Let go.
You were right.
Oh, that's your girl? No, like that's your girl, right?
What the fuck?
Love Rookie, she give them all the cookies, but cookies on me pussy. This girl is kinda loosey. Dudes take her off the shelf and they put her on credit. 30 days later, they return it and regret it. Use like a dish rag, dump with a hashtag. I blame it on the pussy. That shit must be bad. Broken pussy. Broken pussy. Maybe it's dry as hell. Maybe it really smells. Broken pussy. Maybe it's really rough. Maybe it's had enough. Broken pussy. Nobody wants you cause you got a broken pussy. Nobody wants you cause you got a broken pussy. Broken pussy. Broken pussy. Hey. Maybe it's really rough. Maybe it's had enough. Broken pussy. Hey. Maybe it's really rough. Maybe it's had enough. Broken pussy. Hey.
Girl, I'm sorry, okay? It wasn't even about you. Daniel dared me to do it.
All right. Scientists confirm worst fears about pee in pools. About 1 in 5 Americans say they peed in the pool. Even the world's most famous pool user, Michael Phelps, says everybody does it. Now scientists have finally figured out a way to quantify just how much urine is in our pools, and the results in the Environmental Science and Technology letters probably won't please swimmers. A research team testing 31 pools and hot tubs in Canada found evidence of urine in every single one of them. Mm-hmm. On average, there were 8 gallons of urine in a 110,000 gallon pool. About 18 and a half gallons of urine in a 220,000 gallon pool.
18 and a half, god damn.
According to The Guardian, the results were even grosser for hot tubs. One hotel hot tub was found to have 3 times the urine level of the worst swimming pool.
Ooh.
Researchers figured this all by measuring the levels of, I don't know how to pronounce this, acetophane potassium, or Ace K in pools and hot tubs. NPR reports Ace K is an artificial sweetener found in soup, diet soda, candy, yogurt, and much more. It doesn't occur in nature, and 95% of it passes straight through the body unchanged, making it a good indicator of urine levels in water. While urine itself isn't harmful, it can react with chlorine to create disinfectant byproducts, which can be still, researchers say they aren't trying to turn people off of swimming. They just like to remind everyone to please not pee in the pool.
Duh.
And that classic summertime pool smell is pee.
Oh, no.
Yep. You guys out there mad at Donald Trump? Y'all swimming in the pee. The Uber CEO says he will seek help, will seek leadership help after video shows him yelling at a driver. Can't get right. You know, Lyft's number one fan is Uber. Like, they don't even have to do shit. They just sit around and be like, just wait for him to fuck up. Most people will subscribe. Oh, we got some new subscribers. Let's see what he did today.
We got a spike. What happened?
Yeah, apparently he has publicly apologized that the video showing him being rude to an Uber driver was published by Bloomberg. In a blog post titled A Profound Apology, Kalanick said that he was ashamed of his actions and that he had now accepted that he needed help to lead in his company. To say that I'm ashamed is extreme understatement, he said. My job as your leader is to lead, and that starts behaving in a way that makes us all proud. That is not what I did. It cannot be explained away. Yeah, dog, what the fuck. I think basically what happened was a driver named Fauzi Kamel took him to task for slashing fares in Uber's luxury service Uber Black, complaining to the Pugnacious CEO that he lost almost $100,000 because of you, and this causes Kalanick, who was mostly friendly throughout the trip, to lose his temper. Bullshit, he says in response to the accusation that he dropped prices of Uber Black. We started with $20. That's how much is the mile now. $2.75, he implores. Before storming out of the cab, he says, some people don't like to take responsibility for their own shit. They blame everything in their life on somebody else. Good luck. Kamel reports, good luck to you, but I know you're not going to go far. According to Bloomberg, Kamel then gave Kalanick a 1-star rating. It stands to reason that Kalanick returned the favor.
Yeah. Like, even if I was driving for them, I'd never drive for you again. Lyft is like, why do we got a spike in applications too. Now that we got a spike in people getting the service, we got a spike in applications.
Yeah, you know, it's that thing too where, like, a lot of these dude bro ass people that run these tech companies ain't shit either.
Come on.
You know, like, you can't really fuck with them either, because they don't really go through the proper channels of shit either, you know. So it's like, you want to be able to make, you would like to be able to make decisions and stuff and be like, okay, cool, I'm supporting this company or that company, but a lot of these dudes are rich white dudes, middle-aged white dudes. They're not exactly the best human beings on earth by rule, you know. Let's see, what else should we do? I guess we can move into some fucking with black people. Let me get the music up for that and we'll do it. Oh wait, that is the wrong
one. Okay, I was stopping what he said. I was like, he said fucking rock me right now.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe, we find different articles make us feel fucked with, and we score them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Now, this is kind of a mixed report. I've seen conflicting information on this, but I thought it was interesting to bring up. There's a rumor that the president of Morehouse was fired, essentially, because he was the one that came out and said, oh, they played themselves going to that meeting and we got played and all this shit with Donald Trump. Now, according to his contract status. He has until like June or something, and then his contract's up, and they just elected not to renew his contract. But they did send out a memorandum that made it sound like his ass was out of there today for that shit, you know. And then he sent out a letter that was like, nah, I'm not out of here. I mean, you could, he said that's one way to interpret it, but so he didn't like flatly say, no, I didn't get fired and this is wrong, but he said something like that's one way to interpret this letter. This morning Wilson sent a letter to students explaining that reports of his ouster were not accurate, but yesterday's letter from the chairman of the board of trustees says that William Bill Taggart, the chief operating officer, will assume control of day-to-day operation. Wilson's letter from today, however, says that he remains as president, continuing to manage day-to-day operations. So my guess is, because that's the other thing, that's what I forgot to say during the HBCU discussion, these motherfuckers are responsible to a board of trustees. So the presidents of these universities are not like the head of Black Lives Matter chapters. Like, they can't just be like, I do what the fuck I want to do, and if you guys don't like it, yeah, fuck you. Like,
because they held accountable to somebody else.
Yeah, it's an organizational chart, and they're just a representative. So the board is the one that's like, yes, you have to take this meeting. Yes, we need this money for the interest of our students. Yes, you're the president, but you answer to us, and we can get your ass up out of here if you are derelict in your duties. So it's kind of interesting that the one president that was speaking out is also the one that knew his contract wasn't being renewed, and was the one that was so like, we got played and all that shit, which that's how it was basically said in the media. I think if you look into the actual content of what he was saying, he was basically saying we got played, like we didn't have a choice, but essentially Donald Trump did not respect us. And that, I mean, even knowing that, you still got to go your ass up there. But and anybody could have guessed, it's not like we were all sitting around like, I'm shocked Donald Trump doesn't respect HBCUs. But they had to go up there and make the make nice with Betsy DeVos, who's going to be in charge of their budgets. Like, they had to go up there and basically instruct her what the fuck HBCUs do for a living and why it's important and why they need the funding that they're supposed to get out of the budget. He was supposedly fired for it, but he's saying he's not now. All I'm saying is this: I hate being right about shit like this, but I told y'all motherfuckers, man, it's not a game. And yes, they will fire your ass rather than have you try to pull some like revolutionary type move.
Yeah, that gets,
because you're responsible for these kids' education. Right. You just don't get to be in that position. This is why I don't have a problem with the kids who are, you know, whether those things they're saying are responsible or not. I don't have a problem with those kids being mad, because they kids. At 18, 17, 19, 20, 21, you get to be like, man, fuck this. We shouldn't have to fuck with Donald Trump and all that shit. Because you're not beholden to anyone but your own education. But the president of the university doesn't get to do that.
Mm-mm.
You know, I remember when I was at FSU, man, we organized because we wanted to get visitation rights so that we could have sex, essentially, as freshmen. And that was like a big fight. And of course, the university was like, wow, we don't want to do that because of tradition and stuff. And we eventually organized and fought and got the right. And I think now they still have it for kids that are freshmen. You can, you know, you're an adult, you're out of your house. If you want to have consensual sex with another person that goes to your university, or just have a girl come visit your room, that shouldn't be like the end of the world.
Right.
But the point being, we had to organize to get that.
Right.
And you know what I mean?
A lot of universities, that's not a problem.
Right. But the chancellor was against it and all that shit.
It was terrible.
But that's his job. That's what I'm saying. They're much more establishment than revolutionaries. They're much more tradition than anything else. They're like, so the idea that these people would be these revolutionary leaders of these universities, it's a silly expectation, in my opinion. But anyway, man, it's just interesting to see what happened, and how he was basically treated, because it was like, I'm not shocked that they would be like, you can leave now then, because you're just not on board, and essentially you're not going to risk our financing from a petty ass president,
right?
That's absolutely got rabbit ears on, that will see this shit, will connect it back to Morehouse, will connect it to HBCUs, and might fuck up the funding because fuck it, you're now nasty people in his book and all that shit that his dumb ass is worried about all the time. And then also, let's see, to be fair, Lewis was expected to leave in 3 months when his contract expired anyway, but there's no doubt that his outspokenness after the Trump fiasco played a part in his departure. He appeared on CNN Saturday morning, loudly noting the side eye surrounding the Trump pledges, proclaiming that the simple optics of a White House visit meant little to nothing to him. He's been to the White House because he's been to the White House before. Wilson noted that funding was important and not historic gestures. So I'm not discounting the significance of that as a gesture, as a symbol. There's no question about that. The bottom line is you have to translate it into funding. The fact of the matter is when Barack Obama took office in 2009, annual federal funding to HBCUs was somewhere around $3.8 billion. When I left after the first term, it was $5.3 billion. That's the biggest increase. That's historic. That's significant. But Barack Obama did nothing for him. Anyway, man, I'm not surprised that dude would basically, his comments were going to get him in trouble because that shit is endangering people's futures of it, essentially.
Right, and even their jobs, because the university pays the chairman of the boards and all these other positions too. So
I mean, they decide what he gets paid. I mean,
right.
They didn't renew his contract anyway, so I'm not shocked that he would be the one to say something, but you know, like I said, you don't get to be in that position and be the fire breathing person. You just don't. It's
you
just not
a job.
You too much shit is just riding on you, you know, unfortunately, quote unquote. But yeah, you just the kind of person that's out there like fuck Donald Trump can't be that guy, and because you got to go talk to that administration to get this money the same way you couldn't be like fuck Obama and had that job. You can't,
right?
It's just not that kind of job, you know. First black bachelorette speaks on the pressure to pick a black man. She says, I'm not choosing man for America. I believe her name is Rachel Lindsay. She's 31 years old. She's a civil defense litigation attorney from Texas. She was just eliminated on last night's episode of Bachelor, which everybody knew about for months because they told everybody in advance.
Right.
To be the first African-American woman is a beautiful thing, she said in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter about what's next for her. I'm honored and humbled to be the one chosen because that's how I feel, like I was chosen to be in this role. When speaking to people last month and her excitement, Lindsay said she was happy to represent myself as a black woman in front of America, as a black woman going on a dating show to find love. Lindsay told The Hollywood Reporter that she received a lot of questions from fellow black people who wondered if she'll pick a black man, which was debated in our comment section when we announced Lindsay as the next bachelorette. That is a very common question I get from black people, she said. Honestly, I don't want to go into this process with any preconceived notions or any pressure to do something for somebody else. I hate to sound selfish, but it's my process. She added, it's my journey in finding love, and whether that person is black, white, red, whatever, it's my journey. I'm not choosing a man for America. I'm choosing a man for me. With that being said, she does, however, hope that the men cast to fight for her affection will actually be diverse. I'm hoping that as a black bachelorette, you're going to see a more diverse cast, a cast that's reflective of what America looks like, she said, and not just Bachelor Nation or whatever else, but what America looks like. Lindsay, it would be funny if they just cast a whole bunch of like overweight, regular looking ass people. That's what America looked like.
That really is.
Lindsay's season hadn't even started filming yet, but so far she said she's received a lot of support, which outweighs any negativity that may come for her way once the series airs. I know there are going to be people who criticize me no matter what I do, but I'm just trying to not get caught up in it, she says. I feel like it was meant to be, and that outweighs any fear or pressure I have being the first African-American bachelorette. Man, I worry about her on many fronts. One, she's gonna definitely, cause there's gonna definitely be white dudes on the show. She wouldn't have been on the Bachelorette on the Bachelor in the first place. She wouldn't date a white dude.
Right.
But there's gonna be white people selected to be, in the Bachelor pool. So you're gonna have that shit of niggas tuning in on some like Wench Lorette. She on the Negro bed, Wench selling out these brothers. You're gonna have that shit. You're gonna have the people that put the pressure on her to have to like every black dude on the show, no matter how whack they may or may not be.
Right.
You're gonna have the attacks on every decision she makes, every dating faux pas, you're gonna have to deal with all that shit. And then on top of that, in case she does say or do anything that is fucked up, you gotta deal with that too. Like, cause people aren't perfect. So she may say or do something that is kind of fucked up. And then you're gonna have to deal with the fallout for that. Then you're gonna have all the black women that watch the show that don't normally watch the show. All the people that watch it that don't normally watch it. You know, they're gonna be fighting on social media about it. No, it's gonna be a whole ordeal, man.
I'll take my cues from Nick and Ridge. I'm not watching that.
And that's before you even get to the white folks.
Just being fucking racist.
Right. It's just gonna be a shit show, man. So, good luck, you know. And I'm not even, I saw someone in the chat say, who thinks she out here looking for a black man? I don't know that she's not. You know what I mean? I don't want to assume that she's not. I mean, just because you go on The Bachelorette doesn't mean, like, I only date white dudes. Like, we don't know. You know, I don't want to assume anything. And it's going to be, but that's the kind of shit she's going to be subjected to, because there's going to be a lot of people that either don't watch that show or didn't watch any of this season. I'm just gonna assume the worst about her, man. So
right, and this is 1,000th episode, and this is the first black woman.
Yeah, being the first
black man,
being the first or only black person is almost always some like trick shit, because it's like you can't win no matter what you do. Mm-mm. Good luck. And I mean, I don't watch anyway, but I'm not gonna start because it's a black woman, because I already know it's just gonna be a bunch of ignorance around it.
Mm-hmm. I'm opting out.
Ben Carson defended his 0 to 100 for the HBCU.
Zero. He was leaving anyway.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I'll say 25. And then what about for Black Bachelorette?
Oh, 100. I'm just know it's gonna be some fuck shit. 100.
All right, I'm gonna say 0 for now, but I'm
preoperatively getting mad, so yeah. Just go ahead and smack it to 100.
Go ahead. Hey, I ain't trying to tell you what to say. I was just giving my own opinion. 0 for me right now. I'm assuming it's going to get worse.
Me too.
Ben Carson defended his comments about black people being slaves being immigrants. Had to double down.
And that's why he got the office. I mean, the position, my bad.
He tweeted out, "You can be an involuntary immigrant."
No. You can be an involuntary immigrant. That's what happened.
Is that what that sounds like?
Mm-hmm. I got sleepy already.
Mm-hmm. You can be an involuntary immigrant, according to him, because Ben Carson, doctor of history. He also put a link to SoundCloud where he went on the Armstrong Williams show.
I'm driving home with my 12-year-old son, and he kind of shy, didn't want to talk, but he had a little bit of an issue with your use of the word immigrants versus slaves. And I think you're going to hear that all day long, probably for the next 30 days. But as my son was explaining to me, to be an immigrant, if you're brought over here against your will in chains.
Immigrants, yes, you can. You can be an involuntary immigrant.
We're brought over here in chains. And as for us giving up and not having the will to live, I mean, it's been shown, none of us were around during that time, but if you put yourself in that situation and you're being brought to some place you're unfamiliar with and you do not want to be put into bondage, yeah, there were reasons. I don't think they were weak people. I think it was very brave for somebody to decide that they do not want to come over to a foreign country, a foreign land, not knowing what the future lies, but knowing they would be treated the way they were being treated in the hull of that ship and put in bondage. They made that ultimate decision. I don't think it was anything to hang heads or be sad about, but we need to have our people who are in front of us, who are in positions of authority, not try to dumb down our struggle.
We should be proud of the fact that our ancestors were able to survive through all of that.
That's right.
And that they were able mentally, they had the mental strength to be able
to sustain themselves. Go ahead, doctor. I'm sorry, Terry. Let him speak.
Sorry about that.
You. Go ahead, doctor.
No.
He talks so slow. I feel like it's the sloth from, what's that movie with the animals? You know what I'm talking about, Karen?
It's from Zootopia.
Zootopia. Like, I feel like he started responding a minute ago. It just took forever for him to come out. Also, I love how she just kept going. She's like, I don't know what this nigga is. Now listen, see? Like, nigga, it's taking too long. Let me just get my point out. By the way, all facts, right? She's speaking all facts. I mean,
her child was like, well, mama, that's slavery. This shit don't make no sense. How the fuck can you be an immigrant when you were forced to come over here in chains?
Right. And then you got basically essentially two black men that are going to tell her that,
of course,
slavery is just immigration, and you know, she needs to stop talking so they can tell her.
I'm just saying, we should be proud to have ancestors that had the mental strength to endure what so many others had not been able to endure. They tried to enslave all kinds of people, but they were not able to survive it. And that requires a tremendous amount of toughness and willpower and strength and hope and faith. And they had that. And don't let somebody turn that into something bad.
Well, don't. No one's disagreeing with what you're saying, and you're saying it eloquently. I think the disagreement comes in the definition and the terminology used to describe blacks. I mean, when the Jews went to the gas chamber, they didn't say they were going to the Holiday Inn or extended care. And right. They're not going to let you change it or dumb it down to let the people know that this was something that wasn't exactly what it was. And we came here in bondage in the hulls of ships as slaves. And not as immigrant. And basically, that's all I got to say. And congratulations and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. I think people need to actually look up the word immigrant. That's whether you're voluntary or involuntary. If you
not
come
a fucking word.
From outside to the inside, you're an immigrant. Whether you're legal or you're illegal, you come from the outside to inside, you're an immigrant. Slaves came here as involuntary immigrants, but they still had the strength to hold on.
What? Didn't tell that star playing.
Oh, not too much.
Nah, that played on its own. I don't know who. That must have been the next. What coons at? 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 Yeah, he put on Twitter, slaves didn't just give up and die. Our ancestors made something of themselves. An immigrant is a person who comes to live permanently in a foreign country. And then he also put something on Facebook. I'm proud of the courage and perseverance of black Americans and their incomprehensible struggle for slavery and freedom. I'm proud that our ancestors overcame the evil and repression that we know as slavery. The slave narrative and immigrant narrative are two entirely different experiences. Slaves were ripped from their families and their homes and forced against their will after being sold into slavery by slave traders. The immigrants made the choice to come to America. Oh, he must have watched that documentary. Coming to America. That would make sense. He probably caught up on that. They saw this country as a land of opportunity. In contrast, slaves were forced here against their will and lost all of their opportunities. We continue to live with that legacy. The two experiences should never be intertwined nor forgotten as we demand the necessary progress towards an America that's inclusive and provides access to equal opportunity for all. We should revel in the fact that although we got here through different routes, some people took a left, some people took a right, Karen, different routes, we have many things in common now that should unite us in our mission to have a land where there is liberty and justice for all. Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary of HUD. When Ken Burns does the documentary about what the fuck happened in this country, it's really going to be
It's gonna be lit. He gonna have all types of footage.
Yeah, it's like saying rape is just involuntary sex. We all had sex tonight, and some of us did not volunteer, but we had the perseverance to endure and to continue on after the sex, and there's a real strength in that. It's like, nigga, you are burying the lead. Now, I know a lot of people legitimately think Ben Carson is just a coon ass nigga and this is terrible and all that shit. I get it, I do. But I would urge you guys to remember that it wasn't always like this. Okay? Ben Carson has a history.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
Ooh, I've seen it. Oh my word.
You got knocked the fuck out, man.
So he wasn't always like this. He was courting the black vote, and he had that song out there as an advertisement on black radio stations. Remember how we were different, you know? Remember how we were. No, you don't remember that Ben Carson was. All right, well, I remember.
And, you know, and I guess for me, I'm not even gonna lie, I didn't have that. I know a lot of people had a connection with him, with, you know, him, his surgeries. I've never had that connection to him.
For Black History Month, when they taught us that he was the first black man to ever cut two brains open.
Nope. Like, I just didn't have that connection, so. In my mind, I'm like, who is this nigga? And all I remember is we made jokes and shit about him. So for me, I'm like, it's one of them things where, nigga, you don't know the history of us getting here, but yet you're gonna be over millions of people in their housing situation. There's gonna be a lot of homeless people, y'all, based off of the decisions that he's getting ready to fucking make.
Between Bessie's,
it's gonna be a lot of homeless and uneducated people, because they're getting ready to cut funding to fucking. They're not gonna pay for shit unless they absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm. Wells Fargo commits $60 billion to increase African American home ownership. Wells Fargo has announced a $60 billion lending commitment to create at least 250,000 new African American homeowners in an effort to address the lower home ownership rates in the black community. The banking and financial services company seeks to lend $60 billion to qualified African American consumers for home purchases by 2027, as well as to increase the diversity of the Wells Fargo home lending sales team with $15 million to support a variety of initiatives that promote financial education and counseling over the next 10 years. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, by the year 2024, 75% of the expected 14 million new household renters and owners in the U.S. will be diverse. African Americans are projected to represent 17%, or the third largest segment of the new households. Wells Fargo's $60 billion lending goal can contribute to economic growth by making responsible home ownership possible for more African Americans in communities across the country, says Brad Blackwell, executive vice president and head of housing policy and home ownership growth strategies for Wells Fargo, in a press statement. We are proud to be the first mortgage lender mortgage lender, to make a public commitment to help increase African-American home ownership, and we are grateful for the support of key housing and civil rights organizations who work alongside us to increase economic prosperity in our communities. Joining Wells Fargo in this effort in the National Association of Real Estate is brokers composed of African-American and real estate professionals. The organization has set a home ownership goal along with two of the nation's most influential civil rights organizations, the NAACP and the National Urban League. The National Urban League provides home buyer education and counseling through its network of affiliate offices across the country. Home ownership can it has become an indispensable part of being a full participant in American society, says National Urban League President and CEO Mark H. Morial in a release statement. An erosion of home ownership rates among African Americans represents not only a devastating financial loss, but a barrier to full participation in the American dream. All right.
We will see.
What'd you give Ben Carson, 0 to 100?
That nigga 100.
100 for me as well. What about this with Wells Fargo?
And right now it's a 25. We're just gonna have to see, because I hear your promises, but we're gonna see this in action. And a lot of banks, including you, have got sued for discrimination against brown people. A lot of housing market, I'm pretty sure you and other people issue loans. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people who can't even qualify to get your loans no more, in financial debt, they got their credit destroyed, can't purchase a house right now, lost their shit through you. So, and also, I always take this back to Trump. With Trump in office, everything's unpredictable. So you making this promise does not mean anything until I see the results. What are going to be the results? And what are your standards? And how many black people are you going to deny because they don't meet your qualifications, whatever your qualifications are? Pretty sure your standards are going to be very high. So like what is the price range? Are you just saying black people in general? Are you talking minority black people? I guess I need more detail about what you're going to do in this promise, other than we're going to give more black people loans.
Okay, well, I'm glad that they provided so much detail, because I didn't finish reading the article. I got more then.
Okay.
So they also want to remove the barriers to wealth building. They gave kudos to Wells Fargo's $60 billion loan commitment. The bank is the first financial institution to acknowledge publicly black Americans' wealth building potential, which could be greatly improved through home ownership, said Ron Cooper, president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, in a statement. NAREB welcomes their entry into the struggle to close the ever-widening wealth gap for black Americans and looks forward to having Wells Fargo as a partner in NAREB's 2 million new black homeowners in 5 years program. According to NAREB 2016 commission study, the state of housing in black America, housing finance industry barriers such as credit scoring models, the lack of affordable housing inventory, the economic constraints like unemployment and underemployment contributes to the low home ownership among African Americans. In addition, the barriers to home ownership in black communities include the cost associated with accessing mortgage credit, limited funds for down payments, and lender averseness to extending credit to consumers with lower credit scores and smaller down payments. Additional research concludes that the lack of exposure to generations of long-term home ownership and persistence of myths about home buying may keep future home buyers on the fence. Home financing options. Despite these factors, Wells Fargo has learned through a series of consumer surveys by Ipsos Public Affairs that African Americans view home ownership positively. The 2016 survey reveals 86% of all Americans say home ownership is a dream come true, with 79% of African American surveys saying it's essential for building families and 51% considering buying a home in 2 years. Wells Fargo offers a number of home financing options, including your first mortgage, a home buyer education incentive that offers a down payment as low as 3% for fixed rate loans. For veterans, a VA loan requires no down payment. Moreover, Wells Fargo is the exclusive provider of the Union Plus Mortgage Program, which offers benefits for most union members and their families. The Neighborhood Lift Program offers down payment assistance to low and moderate income home buyers. So, I guess those are the programs they're going to use to try to help.
I still feel the same. My school hasn't changed. We will see, you know, because a lot of times, and not that they're not going to do it, not that their intentions aren't right, but at the end of the day, you're a business. So this makes you look good, which, you know, you're not doing this just
because. There should be a business incentive. I don't expect businesses to not be businesses when dealing with black people. I expect them to recognize us as potential customers, because we are, and to treat us as such. I'm with you. I'm still on the fence, just more about the fact that y'all have a history of racial discrimination. The industry has a history of racial discrimination. Now, this may be the first step in trying to right that wrong. This may be, you know, the fact that essentially the housing crisis was on the backs of low income, mostly black people that, were targeted by these companies, because of their lack of essentially home ownership and financial literacy, and, the fact that they could make short-term profits off of these people. I'm wary, but I think they're making some really good steps. I think having some black organizations involved in this process, I know it eases my worry. Like, I would consider buying a house through this program when I wouldn't through another bank or something, because you have black people in a position that, you know, who've historically had organizations to help black people get houses, that are looking out for you. I'd go through that before I go through, say, Bank of America or something. And hopefully this challenge will resonate throughout the industry, and other banks will say, well, they're competing for these black dollars, and we need to start competing as well. You know, because I think for my point of view, I would like assurances that, hey, I'm getting a good interest rate.
Right.
I'm getting a competitive, you know, my down payment, you know, is reasonable compared to my counterparts, that I'm not being docked for being black, even though my credit score is good. Those are things that black people have to worry about when buying homes, man. Like, we read just last week an article about how black people buying homes can actually hurt their financial standing and ability to generate wealth. Now, that article glossed over white flight. I was aware of it. We definitely talked about it at the moment, but the point being, a home is a major financial decision for people. And I want to go into that decision knowing that I'm not being discriminated against, you know. So they're making all the steps that I think would make me interested in being like, well, let me stop renting and look at a house. Where I wouldn't do that for just anybody, to be honest.
And that's true. And my thing is, I approve of this. I think it's good. I actually think it's wonderful. I think that more banks, big and small across the board, I think, actually, in my opinion, this right here should be industry standard, because you're talking about billions of dollars that they're losing because they won't even look at us. Or just brown people in general. And I hope this stops a lot of the discrimination that every so often you hear about banks being sued, class action lawsuits. So I hope that lessons have been learned, people have gotten their shit together. And so, yeah, I think that this would be something that I would consider. Only time will tell. Like, that's my biggest thing. Only time will tell.
Sometimes people got to fuck up to do right.
Right.
Like, I don't think they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're a fucking bank. You know what I mean? But I'll take the right shit out of y'all fucking up than y'all continuing to just exploit that community even further. And we'll see what happens. You know, I think they took the right steps in involving the right people.
I do too. I do too, for the fact that you involve people of color in some way, shape, form, or fashion shows a commitment. Versus you doing this and you have no connection with the community that you're targeting.
Yep. And personally, I just feel like maybe black people need to go back to the projects where they can be voluntarily housed, as I like to call it, low budget housing. that we prospered in for so long, for so many generations. All right, let's get into some guess the race. No white people news today. We've been talking long enough.
Mm-hmm. We covered whatchamacallit, Ben Carson.
Enough. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of America, where we find different news articles and we have the audience, including Karen, guess the race of the people involved. And of course, the audience, and including Karen, are racist. All right, let's get right into it. Of course, Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step your game up when it comes to this shaving thing, okay? You need to get yourself clean, mm-hmm, so that you can be out here looking and feeling good, man. And they are now offer a la carte services, man, okay? If you go to getbevel.com/tbgwt, you'll see what I'm talking about. But you can either sign up there, become a brand new subscriber, or like I said, go and get, like, I ran out of shaving cream, but I had the other creams. I still had everything. So you can email them, you can call them, you can go to their website and you can just order it. Or they have like different packages. You can just order I want to stock back up on this, on the three different creams, and I'm good. I just want to buy another razor. I just need to restock up on that. You know, you can even go buy like three different razors. Like, they got all kinds of options there at the website, getbevel.com/tbgwt. Go sign up if you haven't. If you need, you know, a good razor or something, go do it, because like I said, it helps the show out tremendously. And they're one of our favorite sponsors, and they are, constantly, evaluating the relationship. So you want to make sure that you support us, like, for people that, you know, are like, I don't want to be premium, or I can't do this. Do you need to shave?
Right.
If you need to shave, shave with Bevel so that you help the show out, you know? And they will continue to sponsor us. All right. Let's get into the guess the race. An insane clown posse fan in Wisconsin was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison after he chopped off his friend's pinky and drank her blood in a ritualistic memorial for a fallen juggalo. For a fallen juggalo. Jonathan Scrapp, 24, of Wisconsin, appeared in Brown County courtroom Friday for a sentencing hearing. In December, he pleaded no contest to second degree reckless injury over the August 27 incident at his house just north of Green Bay. Along with the prison sentence, a Green Bay judge ordered Scrapp to serve 4.5 years of extended supervision and probation. Where do you go with this? How can this happen? How can this even happen in Green Bay? Judge John P. Zakowski said in court, seemingly flabbergasted by the details of the violent crime. In August 2016, Scrapp and a group of friends, including local rapper Bloody Ruckus, were celebrating the life of a fellow juggalo who had died a year before.
What an unfortunate name.
What?
Bloody Ruckus.
Bloody Ruckus. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, apropos. The group's only female, 27-year-old Sheldon Neons, told cops that they had been talking about a blood-drinking cult ritual, and reportedly she volunteered to let Scrapp drink her blood. With her consent, Scrapp, who proudly displays tattoos showing his devotion to insane clown posse, made a 1-inch cut in her right forearm with a machete. Video of the entire exchange surfaced on YouTube. She was bleeding profusely, the complaint states. John filled up a shot glass with her blood and drank her blood, yet the group wanted more and soon began thinking about severing a finger. Neons, who told police she did not use drugs or alcohol before the event, volunteered her pinky. Okay, now why is he in jail if she said, cut off my pinky? He took a couple strikes with the machete, taking the pinky clean off on the second one, all the way to the palm. John then placed the finger in his freezer where he said he would cook it and eat it later. I guess he wanted some. God. Sorry, guys, I gotta do it. Finger foods.
Oh, baby, he wanted that pinky on the rocks.
You know what his favorite snack is? What's that? Lady fingers.
he like his pinkies like he like his eggs over easy.
I don't even know what that one is supposed to mean, but I know what you want.
Cook a finger later.
I know, but oh, okay. You got it. I played the sound, Karen. I don't know what else you want from me.
I didn't say it had to make sense now. That was not part of the rules.
Well, I guess I gotta hand it to you.
I didn't know it was adding logic to this.
Okay. John, the group then attempted to stop the bleeding by using a car cigarette lighter, which failed.
What?
Then they used a blowtorch.
What?
Her boyfriend later saw the injuries. She got a boyfriend hanging out with these motherfuckers. And his mother made her go to the emergency room. Cops were called to the hospital where staff thought she had been initiated into some sort of cult. 27-year-old insisted the ritual was voluntary and didn't want anyone to be charged. Police arrested Scrap and his childhood friend Nick Labs, who had been at the party. Labs was released after questioning. Bloody Ruckus, whose real name is Preston Hyde, 23, had been charged with second-degree reckless injury and mayhem in connection, but has yet to be sentenced. In the video that surfaced online, Scrap's first swing failed to fully amputate the pinky, and Hyde can be heard in the background saying, "Finish it." All right, Karen. Guess the race of these people.
White.
Going with white, huh? Let's see. Just gonna go out on limb. Let's see what the chat room wants to say the race.
I would be shocked if it's anybody else.
Scrap paper white, one says. Sentenced to probation instead of jail is a dead giveaway. Also, insane clown posse white. Well, it's not young Bloody Ruckus or little Bloody Ruckus, so I'm gonna say white.
Ah!
White millennials who got confused over the phrase getting the digits. You said juggalo. White. The correct answer is white. Everyone got it. I'll put his picture in the chat.
So you skip one dirty, shiftless wigger.
Oh, there you go. I'll put
picture. No.
Yeah, you can see it too, huh?
Oh no. Oh, what's it? What, I don't know what's happened. A party on top and dress and well, I don't. What is happening here?
Yeah, something about this guy.
He don't use bevel.
Something about this guy. I just can't put my finger on it.
I'm so confused.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on here.
Yep. Can't believe they fingered him from the crime.
I don't see how she pointed him in the right direction.
All right, let's get to the next one. Let's see who we're gonna talk about. How about officials arrest a reporter in 8 bomb threats on a Jewish community?
What?
A former journalist is accused of making 8 bomb threats to Jewish institutions in an attempt to harass a former girlfriend, according to the FBI and the publication. The Federal Bureau of Investigations worked
with a hate crime. I hope they did. Go ahead with the story.
Okay. Worked with the New York Police Department and New York State Police to arrest Juan Thompson Friday morning in St. Louis, Missouri on one count of cyber stalking, according to the FBI press release. Thompson, 31, allegedly stalked a woman by making the threats in her name to Jewish community centers and the Anti-Defamation League's New York headquarters, court documents said. The charge carries a maximum of 5 years in prison. The FBI is still investigating the waves of calls to Jewish community centers across the country, spokeswoman Samantha Shero told the Huffington Post. They have not identified the suspect or suspects who made more than 100 threats. Thompson's first alleged threat came 9 days after the first wave of bomb threats hit the JCCs across the country. The majority of those bomb threats, which as of Friday add up to at least 103 at 77 Jewish community centers and 9 Jewish schools, have come in 5 waves. Thompson made his final threat February 20th. According to court documents, 12 centers received threats that same day, but authorities consider the cases unrelated. So this is a different
shit.
Mm-hmm. So some of those are just racist, probably inspired by Trump, and the rest are just, you know. Thompson originally began harassing the woman in July after she ended their relationship. On July 27th, Thompson allegedly sent an email to the victim's employer at a social service organization in the greater New York area claiming that she'd been pulled over for drunk driving and was being sued for spreading sexually transmitted diseases. In October, anonymous email sent to the woman's employer and later traced to Thompson said she had sexually transmitted diseases and accused her of having child pornography, the FBI complaint said. As early as November, investigators with the St. Louis Police Department said that NYPD began investigating Thompson about the accusations. Thompson then made 8 bomb threats to Jewish institutions over the course of a month, authorities said. Sometimes he'd make the threats in his own name, other times he'd make them in the victim's name and then claim she was trying to frame him. According to the FBI, he sent the first threat via email to the Jewish History Museum in Manhattan on January 28th. On February 1st, he allegedly threatened a Jewish school in Manhattan twice and another Jewish school in Farmington Hills, Michigan once. He allegedly threatened a JCC in Manhattan on February 7th and a JCC in San Diego on February 20th. And sent an email to you could have found another girlfriend taking all this motherfucking time.
Come on.
Just get on Tinder, okay? And send an email, get out of the gene pool. And sent an email to the Council on American Islamic Relations to threaten a Jewish center in Dallas on February 21st. Thompson is also accused of sending an email to the ADL, American Defense League, I guess, on February 21st, saying the woman is behind the bomb threats against Jews. She lives in NYC, is making more bomb threats tomorrow. The next day, the ADL got a phone call from a person claiming that explosive materials have been placed at his office in Manhattan, according to the FBI. Court documents mention a tweet from February 24th in which Thompson accuses this nasty, racist, hashtag white girl of sending a bomb threat in my name. The defendant allegedly caused havoc and expending hundreds of hours of police and law enforcement resources to respond and investigate these threats, said Police Commissioner for New York, James P. O'Neill. In February 2016, Thompson was fired from his job as a reporter at The Intercept, an online investigative news publication launched in 2014, and the outlet discovered he had fabricated quotes. An investigation into Thompson's reporting turned up 3 instances in which quotes were attributed to people who said they had not been interviewed. In one instance, he featured a person in a story who said was the cousin of Dylann Roof, the white supremacist who murdered 9 members of a church congregation in South Carolina. The man Thompson claimed to have quoted Scott Roof doesn't even exist. A retraction at the top of Thompson's article now reads, after speaking with 2 members of Dylann Roof's family, The Intercept can no longer stand by the premise of this story. Both individuals said they do not know of a cousin named Scott Roof. In a statement Friday, The Intercept said it was horrified to learn the charges against the former employee. These actions are heinous and should be fully investigated and prosecuted, the publication said. The ADL and the Jewish Community Center Association of North America both praised the FBI for its arrest, noting that they're planning a wider probe into the rest of the threats. FBI Director James Comey reportedly met with Jewish leaders Friday morning to reassure them that the agency is still pounding the pavement. Well, Karen, guess the race of, what was his name? Juan M. Thompson.
This is a hard one.
Very difficult. I do not envy you.
You know what? I'm going black.
Karen's going black. Let's check the chat room. Blacksican, says Black Rob. Latin first name, Anglo last name. I'm using the Julio Jones theorem and calling his spade colored. Black. 4chan honky, says Dostax. Just saw Get Out Black. Yes. No. The correct answer is, and most of you got it, he's black. couple people missed it. Yep, that's Juan. And then he got a Frederick Douglass part in his hair too. Shame. That's with the white girls out here stalking and blaming shit on,
charging with all of the crimes,
attacking Jewish people. Can't believe he was ever in charge of investigating anything. Right. All right, let's do the last one, guys. All right, time to go to the bonus round, which means this music. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2-for-2. Woo-hoo! Let's see if she can keep the streak going. Getting nervous yet, buddy?
I am.
Oh, good. Good. That's what I like to hear. A man is accused of unwanted toe sucking and foot massages at a Toledo mall. A man is accused of taking off a woman's shoe and sucking her toes without permission at an Ohio mall. Yeah. And he's now accused of massaging the feet of other women without their consent.
Oh, I mean, if it's consensual, one thing, but if it's not, that's a whole other thing.
Joseph Jones of Toledo was in court Tuesday to face menacing and sexual imposition charges. He told a judge he's being targeted after earlier pleading not guilty to sexual imposition. Oh, so it's a conspiracy. They just happen to want you so bad, huh?
All these women just throwing their feet up in your face and say, suck my toes, all of them.
I guess he going by the Nate Parker, Casey Affleck corollary. Court documents show he was first accused of sucking the toes and kissing the cheek of a store employee at a Toledo mall in December.
Oh!
Two women who work at the same store then came forward to say Jones took off their shoes and began massaging their feet. Another woman says he grabbed her foot. Jones has been banned from the mall. Guess the race of Joseph Jones, Karen.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Tomosexual Joe White. Shout out to Karen. Al Bundy Jr. Al Bundy Jr. Black. I think my dude JJ is black. Damn, Rex Ryan needs a job ASAP. Involuntary toe sex. What race is that though, Black Rob? His ass is black and ooh. Why are y'all all saying black? Do black men love sucking people's toes without permission? Is this a stereotype I have not been aware of all this time?
A lot of people like sucking toes. Just get permission.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't know this was our thing. Anyway, y'all right. He's black. Which does mean, Karen, my beautiful bride, you was wrong.
A 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
And that's the face of the damn homosexual right there.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. No.
Yep. Now, I'm
gonna get my toes sucked. You gotta do better than that. This, my friend.
I'm not a tomophobe, but I cannot support this man's lifestyle. I'm sorry, y'all. I try to be open minded, and I try not to be tomophobic and judge, but that's too much for me. Okay, guys. All right, let's get into the sword ratchetness. Okay, Karen blew a load on the last one, and it's sad. It happens that way. You want to do one more?
Yes.
All right. Give you one more time.
Thank
you. One more chance. Let's see. How about this one? Caddo animal shelter employee is accused of having sex with a dog.
White.
Shreveport, Louisiana. Caddo Parish animal shelter kennel worker is out on bond after her arrest on a charge of crimes against nature, and a former CPAS employee is accused of recording the act on video. Oh, it's two of them? How the fuck do you get another person involved in your fucking a dog. Like, one person seems like a lot when it comes to dog sex, and then another person being like, you know what, I could be into that. What, you need a cameraman?
Pitting to be on top of my animal rights. Honey, I'm not this is the case. Animal shelter
worker is Peter might be into this. I don't know what how Peter gets down. They might be like, animals just like you can fuck them. I don't know.
Not against a Caddo Parish animal shelter kennel worker is out of jail after allegedly having sex with a dog. A former shelter employee is accused of recording the alleged incident. Selena Cabrera is charged with crimes against nature.
I'm looking for Selena. We're working on this today. We just wanted to give you our chance to
KSLA News 12's Shane Wright went to the home of Cabrera this morning. A man who answered the door asked our crew to leave and did not comment on the allegations. Cabrera was arrested on Friday in connection with the case. A parish spokesperson confirms Cabrera was placed on administrative leave before her arrest. The spokesperson also tells us Shreveport police called animal shelter officials to pick up the dog in connection with the case. Now, former animal shelter employee Booker Thomas Jr. is charged with principal to crimes against nature. He's accused of recording the alleged act.
All right, Karen, guess the race.
White.
Karen's going with white. Chat room, what do you guys think? Oh, that's why Shaggy didn't want Velma's fine ass. White. Oh. Wants the dog fur to be wet like her back. Oh. This time we'll do it to you style, Latin dog lover. Gotta get that green card by any means, Latina. The correct answer is, and all y'all that said Latina, y'all wrong. She was white. Karen, you're right. Now, if the dog would have been a black lab, then that's interracial porn. We all know this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's her right there.
But the fact you had an accomplice, ain't no nigga gonna be like, nigga, come here and record me. Fuck this animal.
Well, at least I don't know. This her accomplice.
Aww.
He look kind of black to me. Aww. Got some black in him, though. I know that much. But we wasn't guessing his race. Messing with them white girls out here, recording them having sex with dogs. Get Out was right. You end up in all kinds of bad situations. All right, last thing we do before we get out of here, gotta talk about sword ratchetness, guys. Here we go. A man who allegedly held up a convenience store was brandishing what witnesses originally described as a knife, but police took the 18-year-old into custody and recovered a sword with a 2.5-foot-long blade instead. That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah,
no one was injured. The robbery took place at Airport Variety just before 10 a.m. Monday. Sanford Police Department Sergeant Matthew Jones said a man later identified as Seamus Malone, white, was reported to have stolen alcohol and cigarettes from the store and then confronted by store personnel. Malone allegedly brandished what was described as a knife. Vigilant witnesses observed Malone go into the wooded area of an airport road and then into the Viewing Pines apartment, said Jones in a statement. Police personnel converged on the apartment complex in a short period of time. Malone was located in one of the apartments and was taken into custody without incident. The knife Malone was believed to have displayed during the incident was recovered in a snowbank next to the apartment complex. Jones said it turned out to be a sword.
Oh.
He's being held in York County Jail on $5,000 bail. And it said in the early morning hours of Monday, prior to airport variety robbery, Malone was charged with theft at Little Mart, another South Sanford convenience store. And he's getting all of them.
All of them.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Our guest will be Chelsea from Gridiron Gals, which is on the CSPN network, and we'll be reviewing The Walking Dead. So yay, can't wait for that. I believe it's at 7, so I can't wait for that. We'll see you guys then. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.